Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Let me see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips. Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877 692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. Can't stop.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Stop.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
As we bowled against a bunch of black guys last night.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the most uncomfortable person in the bowling alley?
Ross!
There he is.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
A good time, huh? Oh, Gravy, are you bowling good?
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, very good. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Pluriceptic and all the ships at sea. Tired of being relentlessly pursued by Emilio Estefan for hot Latin love.
Yeah.
Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody, to the Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Thursday, January 17, and you just heard Dude give you the phone numbers anywhere in America, 877-365-3636, Washington on WJFK, 202-432-1067, New York, WNEW, 877-692-1027. Here is the enigma of our bowling team.
I don't get it either.
Radio's Guy Birdley. How you doing, Spaghetti Arm?
Hi, Don. I'm Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Yeah, he is absolutely the wild card, isn't he?
He threw a ball last night that I'm not really sure when it left your hand, but it left your hand somewhere like after your first step. And it went into the gutter probably after it got 2 inches down the lane.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, he'll throw one that looks like it's going to be a gutter ball, and at the last minute it's got that wicked curve.
It's amazing.
But listen,
he's a phenomenon.
It didn't matter because, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you're fighting gutter balls. Went down to defeat. Now, it was close.
The Bruja crew beat it.
It was close.
Mm-hmm.
But, once again, the white man is put down by the black man.
Once again, the athletic ability of Mr. 40 and crew smited us. They pounced on us heavily.
The white devils lost. We bowled two games last night at Strike Bethesda.
Were they talking smack or what?
Yeah, they were, and we had nothing to come back with.
And we were like, yeah, so?
Because we suck. We're the worst. You know, really, seriously,
we're really bad.
Our next match, I know that next week we're bowling in Connecticut against Howard Cosell's grandson.
Very good.
But I think that the match after that, seriously, we should think about bowling against some retarded people.
Yes, yeah. I think that would be the only way we'd stand a chance. And they'd probably use those little metal ramps, and they'd probably beat us anyway.
We should either bowl against tards, or we should get like fifth or sixth graders
to
come out and bowl against us, and not let them use those bumpers on the side that little kids get to use.
And make them use 15-pound bowling balls.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be allowed to use the bumpers.
Absolutely.
Yes, but only us. I tried to talk smack at one point last night and was terribly sat down when I went to, I believe, their anchor bowler, and I said, hey, nice hat.
And he said, yeah, nice haircut.
Yeah, like, he did. He got you right back.
Thank you.
Yeah, they kicked our ass.
And they were pretty drunk the second game, too.
Yeah. Second game?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
I think the first game, too.
First game.
Yeah, they were pretty S-faced.
Yeah.
First game. It was a...
at least they didn't spill their beers a lot.
It was a good time.
That happened about eight times.
It was a good time.
Marsh.
And the Fighting Gutter Balls, we got our ass kicked. Oh, here is... Robert, the angry mailman who was there last night. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello, my friend.
I'm going to give you a pass this time because I didn't like the lights being low and all the flashing and the music and me shaking my ass. Had a great time, though.
Yeah, we did. We had a wonderful time. Maybe the best time we've ever had.
It was nice.
Right, going out with the bowling team.
Really? Robert was gambling with everybody. Absolutely.
Passionately.
You guys made me lose about $20 because you're so inconsistent, especially that nuthead Buzz.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we have total inconsistency. I'm Mr. Inconsistent. We never know where the balls are going to go.
I wasn't feeling well, so I give him a pass, too.
All right. Thank you.
But we're going to dog you on the 13th. If that's the best you can do, Jesus Christ.
That's what I kept hearing from Robert. You wait. Until the 13th, when we're going to take on Robert and his crew.
Hey, I'm going to comment about the ladies tomorrow.
Oh, when you come in for the movies?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I got something to say about all the fine honeys that I made a mistake. The black ass thing?
Yeah.
Forget that.
Yeah.
The white girls was holding down last night.
Ah.
Well. There you go,
Robert.
Oh, man.
And Robert, you can tell us tomorrow. But I'd like to know now. Did you get laid last night?
Hell no, I had to go to work.
Man. Oh,
bummer.
Defend our country.
Too bad, Robert.
Somebody had my uniform on last night.
Yeah, he had his postman uniform on.
Oh no, security guard.
That's right. Because you had the badge on last night.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna comment on them fine ass honeys that was in there last night, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of talent in there last night.
A lot of meat curtains, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of tang in there last night.
Oh, and beautiful women.
Yeah. And hello to UC on lane 15.
Okay, right.
Oh, yeah, the lady that didn't like you bowling next door.
No. So, Robin, I noticed that there was this... Robert, we'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
Okay.
All right.
Later.
Robin, I noticed that, we're bowling in lane 15, and...
I thought we were on 16 and 17.
Well, whatever. Right. For the purpose of the story, we're on 15.
She's on 14.
And she's on 14, and Mr. 40's on the lane to our right. There are people, just regular bowlers, on the lane to our left.
Just people.
Well, there's this one broad... And she's not a good bowler. You know, not that any of us are good, but she's
olive oil.
She's not good. And she stands up there and concentrates for one full minute before she throws the ball. Now,
she gets very discouraged if you bowl in front of her.
Yeah. The proper etiquette is to wait for the person next to you.
Right.
You know, it's a common courtesy. You let them roll their ball, and then you bowl yours. Well, this broad would stand up there, and she would just stand. And after about 30 or 40 seconds,
she'd roll her ball.
Yeah, but or if after 40 seconds she hadn't bowled yet, we would just bowl.
And then she'd give you a dirty look.
Yeah, then she'd give us a dirty look. And that's when Rob said she was a UC.
Right.
And I said, a UC? What was that? And that, incidentally now, that is an undouchable cunny.
Yes.
Wow. She's a UC.
That means she's hopeless.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that means.
A UC.
Hopeless.
Hopeless.
A total UC.
Hopeless. No chance of any douching at all.
Hopelessly UC
in a black dress.
So we had some fun looking at the old olive oil next door, and
it was packed over there. We had a lot of people come out to see us.
And everybody was very nice, and we loved bowling against 40's crew.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Don and Mike show. Hello, even though we got our asses kicked. Yeah. Hello,
Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, first time caller. I was at Strike Bethesda last night, and I'll tell you what, no matter how much you guys suck, you guys know how to have a good time.
We do indeed.
Okay. That we do.
Yeah. And that I tell you what, that Robert, man, he was all over the place with the ladies.
Well, he loves the ladies. He really does, and he loves to gamble.
He looked like Mr. T out there with all that gold on his neck.
He was wearing a lot of the rope chains. Right?
Yeah, well, he had the rope chains the last time he came in here when he had the Lakers stuff on.
Robert likes to dress up. Yeah. He really does.
Yeah, it was a good time. Glad you were there, Jason.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, my friend. And although we don't have the final scores, I will tell you that once again, the anchors of your fighting gutter balls.
Amen.
Right here.
Yeah,
you're looking at him.
Yeah.
It's him and me.
Donovan Wright.
Him and me. Me and him.
Strong. Right there. Strong performance.
Right there. Don't let the team down.
You almost had a turkey last night.
Almost had three strikes in a row.
Wow.
Right. At one point.
Very
and,
cool.
Yes. Same with you at the end of the
First game. I came on strong. I was very happy with. They came on strong, huh?
Yeah. So
having a good time.
Rob, what happened to you last night? You normally
Rob had a bad night last night.
You normally solid performance was not up to your usual standards.
It was in the first game. I think frames 5 through 9. I just came down with syphilis or something.
It was
horrible. I was all spastic.
Was it ass syphilis?
It was ass syphilis, and it spread, and I just got all spastic.
Unable to really deliver the goods.
Yeah, and I felt very bad. Now I did bounce back. I had the team high score in the second game, so I'm syphilis free and feeling proud. But the first game, I apologize.
Rummy had her usual.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hung in there, had a strike.
Yeah, she did okay.
You know, and again, none of us are great. But if we could just be more consistent, Buzz.
Yes.
If we could just be more consistent,
I really think,
Buzz.
If you look at our games from the very beginning, we have improved very little.
Wow.
We have not made any real progress at all.
Well, I think that
we have an occasional good game. We have an occasional horrible
game.
I'm
actually going backwards.
Yeah, you are beginning to go backwards.
You
that one ball you threw last night.
Seriously, let's be honest with it. We're protecting my feelings here, and we're hiding facts from the public. When the truth is, I bowled like a 40 something in the first game.
Yes,
and like a 50 something in the second game.
Bowling is not your favorite. Have you thought about a lighter ball?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I think I should switch to that.
Now, you told me that you had used a lighter
Maybe
ball.
Maybe a 3-pounder.
You had told me that you had used a lighter ball and had success with the lighter
at
ball.
At Bowmore in New York, as a matter of fact. But the house balls were not within easy reach last night, and so I ended up just using mine.
See, this is why he is the enigma. This is why he is the Riddler. We should just put a giant question mark on the back of your bowling shirt, because he will either... He is either absolutely hot or absolutely cold. He will either, and Buzz has had game.
It'll either be a strike, or he'll knock 8 or 9 down, or it'll be a gutter ball.
Right.
Ernest Enigma. And also, I don't know about you guys, but I was thrown off by the darkness last night.
Yeah. Well, you're talking, of course, about the bowling,
the lighting.
Yeah, I'm talking about the lighting.
You're not making one of your horrible statements, are you?
No, see, the lanes that we were at last night, they turn off all the lights, and the bowling pins are actually...
I don't like that.
Day glow.
I mean, I know it's fun.
It's cool to look at, and I wouldn't mind.
It's cool to look at. It'd be good if you were going out and having a, you weren't bowling competitively, but it was a little weird.
I need to see the marks on the lane.
Exactly.
That helps me.
I got into it. I mean, I had a great first game, and then when we turned the lights on, I started to bowl crappy, so I...
Yeah, you said turn them back off again, and you were the one that wanted to turn them on.
Yeah, I know. I know, I'm in an
and we were watching Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
They have a giant video screens at this place.
And that's a movie you want to see in the background with no sound. That's, subtitles. It was very good.
The people at Strike Bethesda could not have been nicer.
Very nice.
And, they calmed all the drinks and all the food.
Great alley. Just
very nice.
Fun.
Very nice. We had a good time.
We had a little office in the back, and the only guy that I had a problem with was at the very end of the evening when I was making kind of an early exit last night. And walking down to the back office, that we had all our stuff in.
Right.
The guy goes, Bud, hey, Bud. And I said, yeah? He said, where are you going?
Oh, dear.
I said, to get my stuff.
Hey, Bud.
He said, who are you with? I said, the bowling team. Bud.
Hey, Bud. What's your problem, Bud?
I actually slammed the door on the guy's
Did you really?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I don't know who the guy was. I thought he might have worked there.
Bouncer,
I think, yeah.
Well, that is a good thing you're on Paxil. Otherwise, you might have killed him.
Oh, I would have stabbed him.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
With your switchblades.
Right there.
Hey, Radio Gods, how are you today?
We're doing okay, thanks.
Listen, I think there's a team out there that you could beat. I understand that Helen Keller's forming a new team.
Yeah, maybe we should bowl against some blind dudes.
That's right.
But you don't know what they're called?
What?
They're called...
Okay. Variation on an old joke.
Oh, joining us now, Mr. 40. Are you all banged up this morning, Mr. 40?
No, slightly.
It is. As we do the show... Bless you, Mike, or whatever you're doing over there. Did you sneeze or...
No, just doing a little blow. Not a little blow, I'm blowing.
Blowing your nose.
You're blowing your nose.
Blowing my nose, yes.
Mr. 40, it's just after 11 o'clock in the morning. You're banged up?
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. They were going pretty hard last night.
I mean, but no, are you banged up from last night, or have you restarted?
Oh, nah, not yet. I lost my voice and everything.
Wow. Oh, so this is the residual from last night.
Yeah, slight residual itch.
Oh, Mr. God. 40, you don't sound good.
I guess that's why you're not here, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you remember last night? Like one of the last things you said to me as we were leaving was, we want to come by the show. And I said, great, see you at 11 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you like first break.
Oh, first break, right.
11 o'clock in the morning is like 5 o'clock in the morning to Mr. 40 right now.
Yeah. So you guys, you kicked our ass, though.
Oh, we did?
Yeah you did. Yes, you did. Don't even remember?
I wasn't really paying attention.
There you go. You bowled really well, Mr. 40.
I did a round partying.
Imagine that if Mr. 40 was so effed up that we could have told him today that we won.
And, you know, 40 actually played some really strong defense when he snuck up behind Buzz last night.
Oh, that was just plain mean.
Oh, my God.
Well, Buzz, I think the Vicodin had kicked in for you last night, and you had no idea he was anywhere near you.
And it was...
Buzz was very focused on that.
Let me just say that, Mr. 40, that appeared to be a bit of a homosexual move that you approached Buzz with you.
From behind, hugging him from behind when Buzz promptly dropped his ball.
Buzz frightened.
Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
But
there wasn't a homosexual tendency, though.
No,
it was just, how would you describe then walking up to Buzz and thrusting your privacy into his bottom?
Oh, God, that would be a drunken act, and please forgive me.
I believe Mr. 40 on the unable to perform list.
He is. Well, I made the official invitation last night that both Mr. 40 and his brother Grady Smoke will be coming over to my casa for the Super Bowl party.
Wives, dates included.
Yeah, right. Sure. Bring Mrs. 40 and let Grady bring. What's he call his girlfriend? Was it the one?
Mary Jane.
No, someone else who had the one, right? Yeah. No, yeah, Grady's girlfriend is Mary.
Yes.
You can't bring Mary to my house.
No.
But 40 was a great time bowling, you guys, and it's too bad we had to kick your ass like that.
Say hi to Steve McNair for us.
Yeah, they got a guy on 40's team, I swear to God. He is an exact ringer for Steve McNair. The guy could go out and get laid.
Oh, absolutely.
He could go out and tell a girl... Do you ever watch football?
Right.
I'm the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. The guy is an exact,
incredible
dead ringer for Aaron McNeil. What's that guy's name?
That's Mo. That's Big Mo.
Big Mo.
Big Mo. Delaware with us. That's
so everybody had a good Delaware. Everybody had a good time, Mr. 40.
Oh hell yeah! Anytime it's beer around, we straight.
So you have Mr. 40 and you have Grady Smoke and you got the Aaron McNeil and then you have Double K.
Right.
And you got Double K, and who am I forgetting?
Fifth Element.
Oh, and the Fifth Element.
Oh, Fifth Element, who was the best bowler on the team.
Yeah, he was like a ringer on your team.
Yeah, he was the Terminator.
Yeah, that was our trump card right there. Just in case.
You're so effed up.
Hey, Mr. 40, are you in bed right now?
I'm sitting on it.
Yeah.
sitting on the bed.
Sit up to turn the radio on.
There you go.
He's so effed up.
Hard to do.
All right, 40, great time last night.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'll let y'all.
Bye, 40.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chuck.
He's all banged up.
Yeah, a little, I bet. Yeah.
I hope that hangover doesn't impede his ability to be a full-time entertainer today.
No, I think Charles is fine.
Do you?
Yes.
Charlie.
Chucky.
CP.
Chucky's fine today.
That was pissing him off last night.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
No, he doesn't.
Mr. 40's real first name is Charles. Mm-hmm. But he goes by Chuck occasionally, and he hated it when we started. That was like the only thing we had.
Right.
When they started giving us crap.
Okay, Charlie.
All we could say, hey, whatever you say, Chuck. Hey, get this.
You hated it.
He would get mad.
Yeah. He did hate it.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don, Mike. What's up, boys?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I wanted to ask, when Buzz bowls, does he look anything similar to Mr. Burns when he bowled on the pin towels on that one episode of The Simpsons, if you ever saw it?
Well, if you want an honest assessment, there is a similarity there.
Yes.
Excellent.
There's a physical resemblance to Mr. Burns.
I put another one in the app.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I heard you guys have a sick day.
Pardon me?
Oh, you got a bad cell phone there, sir.
Try again.
Call back. That your line is deader than who's someone who's died recently?
Vic Tabak.
Recently.
Sorry about that. I always go to Vic Tabak.
Recently. Hello, Don and Mike.
I still miss him.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. My name's Jason. I think I had a good time last night.
Yeah.
Oh, are you like Mr. 40? You think you had a good time?
Kind of. I think I had a good time. I got there. Let me describe myself. I'm a short little Jewish boy, and I was surrounded by maybe 10 to 15 of these humongous big black brothers.
Right.
On the left of me were about 10 of these, you know, maybe 10, 20 little white guys, and I had a great time.
Right. Well, thank you for like breaking it all down into color and size.
It sounds like you were at our bowling alley last night.
I absolutely was, and I tell you, dude, the highlight besides getting a glimpse of the back of your guys' heads was the hot waitress bringing you guys the Grey Goose and Don.
Yeah, they Strike Bethesda. They have some hot waitresses.
Yeah, they have some cuties, and we want to say hello to Angel, who was our waitress last night.
Ooh, Angel.
She's a beauty.
Oh, Lisa, yeah, of course.
As we all know. So.
Yeah. And Lisa, once again, did her strike dance. When she does a strike, she does her little, like a salsa dance that she does.
Well, I think really in order for Lisa to bowl better, we have to take her cell phone away.
There you go.
The cell phone is just simply too much for Lisa to handle there last night. It fell out of her pocket.
Yeah,
she was giving it to Buzz every time she bowled. It was difficult.
At one point, the cell phone almost took out the 7-pin.
That's right.
It was
absolutely
shooting down the alley.
Hello. Joining us now. You know, we were going to bowl against One Life to Live next week.
Right.
As it turns out, the Soap Stars can't bowl us for a couple more weeks.
Okay.
So next week, when we're up in the tri-state area, we're going to be going to Connecticut to bowl against Howard Cosell's grandson.
Wow.
And joining us now is Colin Cosell.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Colin.
It's
doing
Colin that? Cosell.
How are you?
Now, Colin, where in Connecticut are we going to be bowling next week?
We're going to be bowling right outside of my hometown. It's a little town called Norwalk. At a bowling alley called Rip Van Winkle, right off of Route 1. It's 701 Connecticut Avenue, which is Route 1, right off 95.
Now, about how far from the city is that, Colin?
That should take you about an hour.
Okay. About an hour.
Well, that's just like everything.
That's what we hear to get everywhere that we bowl in the New York area. Everybody says it takes about an hour to get there.
Right.
All right.
No, it does. It takes, with a little bit of traffic, about 45 to an hour. It's not too bad.
All right. Colin, who will be bowling on your team? Any other relatives of...
You're getting the Cosell attack. It's going to be myself, my oldest brother, Justin, and my freshly pregnant sister-in-law, Dory.
Wow.
Justin and Dory Cosell, myself, and then my friends Wally and Mike.
Hey, yep. Colin?
Yes, Rob.
Was your brother Justin represented in that TNT movie? Was that the little kid that Howard was chasing around?
Yes, he was. And everybody, it was absolutely horrendous, that movie, by the way.
I look forward to calling him a little monkey.
Fantastic.
Hey, a little monkey.
We're going to have a good time. There's going to be a lot of beer. It's going to be, we'll have fun next week. But yes, that was my brother. Played by some fat little kid. That was horrible.
Well, we're really looking forward to playing the Cosells.
You didn't like that thing? I thought it made your grandpa look like I mean, it had the stuff with him getting drunk and, you know, everybody's got ego problems, but I thought it shined your grandpa Howard Cosell in a nice light.
Well, next to the book that it was based on, yes, they did actually make him out nice. However, Patty LuPone as my grandmother was a little frightening. My grandmother's nose was ever that big.
That's funny.
And what about John Turturro, who played your grandpa?
Well, I think if my grandfather had a vocal scraping and maybe a...
Now, who do you prefer? I mean, have you seen the John Voight version?
Yes.
In Ali?
I went into Ali figuring that I was going to praise Will Smith and rip apart John Voight. And John Voight was the only reason I stayed in the theater.
Oh, really?
He was that good.
So the Cosell family is pleased with the portrayal of John Voight.
Yes, but we're attacked by Johns now. We're being plagued by Johns playing my grandfather. And my mother is sickened by the whole thing, but that's just the way she is.
Well, you heard it, folks. Next week, the Dynamite Gutterballs against the family Cosell.
The Cosells.
Wow. Under attack.
Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll see you. Colin, hold on just a second.
Colin.
Hold on a second, please.
Colin Cosell.
How funny is that?
What are they going to look like him?
We next week are going to be bowling against Howard Cosell's grandchildren.
That is too funny.
A team of five, and they all look like the Count from Sesame Street.
It's all the Cosells more often.
What an unbelievable resemblance.
Just people. Hello, Don and Mike Schilling.
Hello
there.
Blazers.
Hi there.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Hey, when 40 and his brother
come to your house on the Super Bowl enough, Frida can finally get her black friends.
Yes, but as we mentioned yesterday, Frida's looking for female black friends, although Mrs. 40's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there will be at least one sister there.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Hey, Don, one more thing.
Yeah.
Hey, when Bart had that free time with the young lady the other day,
yeah.
Do you think he tackled her clam?
Do I think what?
He tackled her clam.
Oh dear me.
I know not this tackling or this clam you speak of. I know not what you're speaking of. I know not.
That's horrible. What a horrible thing to say.
Although yeah. I do know that my son was indirectly mentioned in today's Washington Post.
He was, in fact.
As was my wife. I don't know if you happened to pick up today's copy, Mike, of the Washington Post.
No, I did not. I have not. I've not had the pleasure.
Well, it's right here on the cover. Talk, front page of the style section.
Yes.
Talk, singing in the key of me. Hit record has struck a chord and bent ears out of shape. And the best-selling country song in America.
We talk about your work and your boss is a jerk. We talk about
which I brought to your attention the other day.
Yes, you're playing it right now. With your brother.
The best-selling country song in America for the last month is not about a busted romance or cheating hearts. It's about the difficulties of interpersonal communication. Specifically, the male-female kind.
Talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about number one.
There you go.
Oh my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me.
So they did that, print the article.
They did.
I want to talk about me.
I told you I'm nutty about that song.
So you go through the part where the guy, the Paul Fari from the Post, he writes about the song.
Right.
Then he talks to the singer, Toby Keith. And Toby Keith says, the record has an odd distinction. It's the first number one country song to refer to menstruation.
Right.
At one point in his litany of topics, Keith sings, we talk about your medical charts and when you start. Giving a sly read to the last phase, to the last phrase.
Very subtle reference
yes,
to that time of the month.
Then you go to, you know, all the other stuff about Toby Keith, that he used to be a football player and he's a big country star. And then you get to radio personality Don Geronimo has played the song on his nationally syndicated Don and Mike show. First heard talk. That's the song, Talk About Me, before Christmas when his son played it for him. Now he plays it constantly in his car on the way to work. And then here's where I am quoted. It's funny as hell, but parts of it ring really true to me, says Geronimo, who's been married for 20 years, who hasn't sat down with her wife or girlfriend, and you listen and you want to listen, mm-hmm. and you try to listen. A lot of times you end up pretending to listen.
Right.
Look, he adds, my wife is wonderful. But when I ask her a question, it would be nice if she could condense the answer. All I want is the first and last paragraph and not the details in between.
Uh-huh.
That, in essence, is what I pray for in my life.
Now, is your wife quoted in there also?
She is.
Very good. A little balance.
Here's a little secret, though. Women know their men are feigning interest. Geronimo's wife, Frida, says she can tell when she's lost her audience. And now here's the quote from my wife. It's that way when I'm talking to a girlfriend, she says. And it's certainly clear when I've lost my husband's attention.
Sure.
And then there's another little secret. Women fake it, too. You do pretend a little bit, she says. When he starts talking about football, I try to refrain from giving him that same bored look.
Yeah, of course.
And then that's all there is about us. Then there's just more about Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, we'll have to get Toby Keith on the show.
Yeah, we'd like to. I'd like to. I mean,
quit big leaguing me now.
For God's sakes, it's the number one country song in America. Yet he didn't get a.
There he is, right there with his cowboy hat.
He didn't get a front page write up in the style section of the Post until I played this song on the
show
2 days
ago. Absolutely, you ought to be grateful.
So imagine my surprise when I went down to the shack down at the end of our driveway,
and right.
the little newspaper cubicle. Got this out and saw that, you know, if I'm remembered for anything in print,
the quote that I want remembered is where it says, look, my wife was wonderful, but when I ask her a question, I wish it would be nice if she would condense the answer. All I want is the first and last paragraph and not the details in between. That, in essence, is what I pray for in my life.
There you go. That's a heavy duty quote.
Well, I know that, I know a lot of times that we've gotten on these reporter guys, but
talk about me.
That is an absolute quote for me.
Yes, there it is.
That word for word, that's what I told him.
And you worked God into it, too. That's what you pray for.
That's what I pray for.
I like talking about you usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me.
Well, now you have a bond.
I want to talk about me.
A bond with Toby Keith.
Yes.
We talk about your schemes, your high school team, and your moisturizer cream. We talk about your nana up in Muncie, Indiana. We talk about your grandma.
I'm going to drive people crazy if I keep playing this song. But anyway, told you that they'd write about it in the paper.
There it is.
They did.
There you go.
Yeah, we should get Toby Keith on the show.
I think it's a good idea.
Used to play...
You played pro ball?
In the USFL.
Really?
Played pro football.
I didn't know that.
And let me see, what's it? It's sexual provocation go a long way. His last hit of 2000 was How Do You Like Me Now? About a successful musician... Keith, presumably, who throws his success back in the face of a woman who rejected him in high school.
Oh, well, there you go. He's got some issues.
Yeah, good for him. Well, I can relate to him.
Yeah.
Country star Toby Keith.
And, you see him all the time on those phone commercials.
So, anyway, was happy when I went down. I said to Frieda, I said, hey, look at this. We're in the newspaper. And she said, oh, great. Let me see what
she like your quote?
No.
No, she didn't think she would.
She didn't care. She said, what? What is this? That, in essence, is what I pray for in my life.
Boy, that's tough.
I said, well, that's what I told the guy.
And then she gives it right back by saying, she doesn't want to give you that faraway stare.
You know, actually, what I said to the guy after that, he said, can you elaborate? He didn't print this part. I said, it's like, when I was in some journalism class in high school, one of the few things I retained from high school is that they said, when you're reading an article, if the author is a good author... You can read the first paragraph.
And the last paragraph.
And the last paragraph. And if you should be able to understand the story from the first paragraph and the last paragraph.
As long as he doesn't bury the lead.
Yeah. And I said that, in essence, is what I pray for from my wife. Right. That when I ask a question, that I just get the direct answer. That I don't have to hear about, your mama in Ocean City and
see, you want your
sister in Bethesda.
You want your wife to be a little more like the New York Post and a little less like the Washington Post.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what it is. Well,
absolutely. But there we are, right there in today's.
You ought to frame that. You ought to put that in your bedroom.
Well,
it's a good one.
I don't think she wants it in the bedroom.
Doesn't like that quote about what you pray for.
No, but she was happy that she got her say in.
She wanted her exposure also in there. She liked
it. So she liked it, and thank you to Paul of the Washington Post.
Paul,
for being a reporter who actually didn't give us a screw job there.
That's very good. And now if we can just get him to come out and cover our bowling.
Oh, I don't know if
get that into the sports section.
Yeah, I don't know if we want that covered.
I don't think so.
I don't know if we do or not.
Hello. In the Bedford Gazette.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. Hey, hi.
I'm actually right across the street here from you guys in Kelly Square.
Right.
I'm listening to you guys for several years now, but I've never had the urge to call until you played that awful song again. Please do never play that song again.
You know, that song is getting a very emotional response from people.
I'm sorry you guys hate that.
People love it or hate it.
I can understand you relate, but
I love
the chorus is just awful.
I love it. And no, the chorus is great, and I am still like, I am like a mental patient. I belong in one of those rubber rooms because this is all I listen to now.
If you would just sing it a cappella, it'd be so much better.
Oh, no. No, no. You don't want me to sing it a cappella.
No. That's the funniest part.
No, you don't want me to sing it a cappella.
So it's interesting the kind of response we get to this song.
Yes.
The song, either people are totally into it or they're not at all.
Well, I mean, I can't help it that you folks are not as diversified as me.
You're not, and not everyone can be a Renaissance man.
An interesting little connection there. Buzz?
Yes.
You actually made a tape for my radio communications class, two semesters ago for Cameron Gray.
Right.
I just thought that was rather interesting, seeing that I listen to you guys every day and having you...
I think if we pay attention really closely, the show is actually going to stop with this caller. The show will completely come to a halt.
This guy does bring up a point that I wish I would have remembered a while ago. You know, Cameron, who works here at the station?
Yes.
A longtime friend of the show.
Right.
He,
he has some kind of class at George Mason University, I think that's where it is, and he teaches a class on radio and communications, and a couple of weeks ago, he was showing Rob and I, and Charlie Broyhill, did you see this, Rob, the final exams?
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
And on his final exam, one of his questions was, draw a radio.
That is hysterical.
Yeah. And he showed me the responses where people would actually draw radios, and some people failed because they did not draw a radio.
Wow.
They drew a television.
Boy, oh boy.
It was like question...
That's a little frightening.
Question number seven.
Those ones are softball.
Draw a radio.
So Cameron is a professor?
Yes,
he is.
Professor Greg.
Wow.
Real hard-hitting questions like, what's a song you might hear on Z104?
Yeah.
Title and artist, please.
Yeah, right.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
But he's
it's hard to get into this business.
He's a teacher.
He's actually asked me to speak at his class. And I laughed.
Yeah,
I said, Cameron, please. Of course I'd be glad to, but... Please, come on. You're teaching a class?
That is hysterical.
You know what the class is called? It's called Give the Professor a BJ 101.
There you go.
That's right.
No apples on that desk.
You want to get an A in this class? Come polish my knob.
There you go.
Wow.
Come bob on my knob.
Hey, you want a little extra credit?
No apples, but a worm.
Hello.
Bingo.
Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, Don.
What?
What's better, this or Baby Daddy?
Oh, you're right. That's another song that I was in love with for a while.
Yes, sir. You played it all the time.
Who Dat Is My Baby Daddy.
H to the Izzo. That's another one that
you
liked.
That's another one, yeah.
You loved Bop the first time you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the dumb Hanson song.
Yeah.
I even had those little...
Whatever happened to Hanson?
I don't know. I remember we even had one of those little queer boys on the show because I love that song so much.
They burped for us.
Hey,
I think they're on Red Shoe Diaries on Showtime. I could
Are you
going to
be better friends with Johnny Fruitcake Allville now?
Am I better friends? I've always been friends with John Allville. Why?
Oh, because it's his revelation. He's gay.
Is this still the same guy with the Cameron?
No, this is a different guy.
A different guy,
this
all right.
A different guy. I don't know what he's talking about either. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Did you hear that ESPN is reporting that during the walkthrough at Pro Player Stadium last week, Brian Billick had the Ravens check out the field. One reason was to check to see which cleats they needed to wear, and the other reason was so they could mark their territory.
Yeah, they could actually urinate on the field?
The Ravens peed on the field?
They actually did. What a classy team.
Hey, well, I hope when they go to Pittsburgh this week that they really go all the way and they go number two on the field.
Well, that's one of the Steelers commented and said, yeah, if they need to do that, that's fine.
Hey, go up all the way to your knees. That's where Tony Siragusa marked the territory.
Tony Siragusa was eating asparagus all week.
There you go. Oh,
Tony Siragusa, can you imagine what that guy's BMs are like?
Oh, be incredible.
And Tony Siragusa has to use the tongs.
Oh, absolutely.
To wipe himself.
Help me, will you, please?
Tony Siragusa.
There we go. Thank you.
Why is he retiring?
You know, as much as I think that Brian Billick guy is a prick, I gotta say, I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
To have your players go out on the field before the game and take a whiz.
Well, there they are in the playoffs again.
On the field. That's pretty good.
I mean, halfway through the season, didn't we think they were going to go right down the crapper?
Yeah, and they've come back strong. That's
right.
Now, this weekend, that's going to be your best game. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that's the best game this week.
Where is it? Is it in Baltimore?
It's in Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
All right.
Do you think they'll have the urination on that HBO show?
What one?
Are they still do that HBO
show? Oh, no, that was just a training camp show.
Oh, so we don't get to see that on
I didn't see any urination when they were doing that training camp show.
Hello, buddy. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hey, buddy. Bobby.
Bobby.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
Love your show.
Thanks.
Back to your favorite song. Anybody who has a wife or a girlfriend who cannot relate to that song, I would say is half gay, if not a full homo.
Amen. I agree. Who doesn't want to just to say, listen, what about me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What about me, for Christ's sake?
Not as much as I just want to say, shut up. Half the time you're telling me a story, you know, you just love her, you got to listen. But if she could just get to the point, I say go ahead.
I bet your gay couples could relate to that song, too.
Anybody who has a relationship,
right?
Somebody has to shut up at some point.
I want
to
talk about me. Listen, Jack, but occasionally I want to talk about me.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
My name's Craig. And you're my partner, Jack. And, you know, just occasionally I'd love to talk about me. We always talk about your grandma in Alabama. And we talk about your nana in Indiana. Please, just occasionally, talk about me, please. You. Me.
That's right, Craig.
Me.
That's right, Jack.
See, we can do it, too.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, did you guys, any of you guys TiVo'd Combat Missions last night?
Oh, is that with that, the old guy from Survivor?
Yeah.
No.
With Rudy Bosch.
I don't think anybody in this room did.
Didn't get a chance to log any time.
Sorry.
No. How was it? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I got it on tape here. It's a good show.
Is it a good show?
Yeah, actually it is. It's pretty wild.
Where they use a lot of Special Forces guys, right?
Special Forces and LAPD and SWAT.
Very cool.
All right, maybe we'll check it out in the future. But no, I actually never have had I've gone through my TiVo, what would you like to record list. I've never typed in the name Rudy Bosch.
No, Rudy Bosch, not doing it.
Or whatever his name is.
That's
now,
it.
Now, I have typed in Big Tom.
Yes.
And I cannot find any shows yet that feature Big Tom the Goat Farmer.
We have to get Big Tom on the show.
We're working on it, Mike.
Big Tom.
We have some of his kinfolk.
Ethan, E-A-T-H-E-N.
We have some of his kinfolk actually trying to get in touch with him.
I vote for Ethan.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call. We got a break. Hello.
Yeah, this is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. I'm from Stamford, Connecticut, which is right near Norwalk. I grew up in that area.
I'm
from Queens now, but I know those lanes. A good place, fun place. Scary people that work there, but fun place.
I went to school with a lot of guys from Norwalk, as a matter of fact. A couple of guys from Norwalk.
Yeah.
What makes the people scary?
Well, you'll see when you get there.
Well,
but they got a lot of lanes. They got a big bar there. Tons of beer. Good place. And the place right across the street on Wednesday nights, all you can eat, pasta fair.
There you go.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Let's get there early for our battle with the Cosells.
Yes, the Cosells and all you can eat pasta.
All right. Thank you, my friend. We got to run. Thanks. Let's clear the lines out. 877-365-3636. National number. D.C. 202-432-1067. New York. 877-692-1027. Call 100 right now. Go crazy. Dial recklessly. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have you seen the new intern? Extraordinary. Wouldn't I like to give her the old pork sausage? Hello, Jimmy Dean.
A day-to-day struggle to find the worst in people. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. I don't think we'll have that problem today.
That's for sure.
Hey, Remy, hold on. I need to talk to you in just a second about something. Let's get a call. 100 first. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hola, hello.
I am caller 100.
Yeah. Right. What's your name?
Dave.
Dave, where are you from?
Roadways in Jersey.
All right, Dave, here you go. You've got the, listen to these DVDs now. The original Mad Max. Also the Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
And you won the two-disc DVD copy of MASH, the classic Academy Award entertainment film with uncut and fully restored scenes, courtesy of Fox and also Circuit City. So thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
We give you three CD DVDs. Two of them are excellent.
Yeah. You're not a fan of the Buckaroo Banzai.
Well, how do you know?
You kind of threw it away when you were a man.
No. Mike, I leave it up to you.
I've never seen the Buckaroo Banzai with Jeff Goldblum.
We are giving three fabulous DVDs away.
Yes.
You decide which I think is garbage.
Buck Banzai was tremendously popular when I was in seventh grade.
Buck Banzai.
Yeah, it was very hot. Hot and Longfellow Intermediate.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
You decide for yourself which I'm talking about.
I will indeed.
Hold on a second. Thank you, Rumpelstiltskin, Rummington Steel. Here she is, Rummy. Hi, Rum. Hi there.
Oh, dear.
Hi, dear.
Hello, dear.
First, at your earliest convenience, we need some of the entries for the Las Vegas-style show in your home. The fax machine number, 800-636-6410. You heard the drill yesterday. Send us a letter. Tell us why. Send us a fax, rather. Tell us why we should come to your house, and we'll come and do the Las Vegas-style show on Super Bowl Saturday.
Had a couple of good letters yesterday. Very good letters.
Yep. So at some point today, run those in, please.
Sure.
And it's after the show today. We're having the RV meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, beautiful.
Right after the show.
Yes. The deal is we promised the good people of the Washington metro area mm-hmm. who have rewarded us with these great number one ratings. And
we're going to go out in an RV?
In one rating period. You asked for it. You got it, Mike.
When you talk to them today, make sure that you just tell them you've got a qualified driver.
Oh, no, you're not driving.
Tell them you've got a qualified driver.
You're not driving, you're broadcasting.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to get a driver.
We're going to do the whole show from the RV?
We're going to do this is what we have to have the meeting with.
Okay.
The engineering staff for, because to drive around the Beltway, which a lot of people who even live in D.C. don't realize this.
Right.
It's a giant circle highway that goes...
A snaky, curvy circle.
Yeah, right. But in essence, it's a circle that goes around Washington, D.C.
Yes, right, yes.
And still, you know, even
like
now...
Like a belt.
Even now, yeah. there are people who have lived here for 20, 30 years, and they can't figure out which is the inner loop and which is the outer loop. So they now have posted, for the absolute idiots,
yes,
they've posted signs that say you're on the inner loop or you're on the outer loop.
Always been confused by that.
Occasionally you'll even run into old-timers who say, how did you come? Did you take the circumference road?
Yeah, there you go.
So what we want to do is take this RV, and the Beltway is how long is it? It's like
67 miles.
67 miles. It goes around the D.C. metro, the actual city. Mm-hmm. Well, what we want to do is get in the RV, not using cell phones, using actual satellite MARTI broadcasting units.
MARTI units. We did this once before. It was very difficult to do.
And what we want to do is drive around and do a whole show driving around, stopping at various exits on the Beltway, where we will give cash to people.
Right.
As a way of saying thank you for listening to the show. Now, not a tremendous amount of cash. We're talking
dollar bills.
We're talking about a dollar per person.
Maybe a five here and there.
But we're going out with literally thousands of dollars.
Yes.
To say thank you for listening to the show and thanks for the great ratings.
And a security guard with a big gun.
Yeah, like we had before, really.
The last time we did that, there was a horrible injury that took place at the very end of the day when you slammed your hand in the van door.
Yeah, I know that's one of your happiest moments on the show.
It was not happy at all. It was just certainly interesting that you could actually hear it. We used to have it on tape. I don't know
dramatic.
If we still have it.
I think Rob's going to look for it. I think it's one of those tapes that somehow Mike has mysteriously vanished.
Oh, really?
That would be a shame.
That perhaps I had removed from the studio.
That was such a delightful tape, though.
I don't think it's that delightful to listen to. I don't think that there's...
Ow, ow, God damn it, ow, ow.
I don't think there's a lot of entertainment value to the tape.
Do you have it, Rob?
Is this it?
No, that's not it, Rob.
No, we don't have it. I can't find it.
You're kidding me.
That's a shame. That's a crime.
Anyway, yeah, I slammed my hand in the door right at the end of the show, and boy, God damn, that hurt.
That won't happen with a delightful RV.
No, it won't. And anyway, so we're having a meeting with the engineers today to figure out how to do this. We want to let you know that the RV show...
I want a tour bus RV.
...is happening. I don't think we're getting a tour bus RV.
Well, that's why I don't come to those meetings.
I think we're getting just your standard...
It would be nothing but trouble if I did.
Yeah, I think so.
You know that I'd be sitting there going, hey, how about that?
I think we're getting just...
How about the kind of Loretta Lynn used to drive around in?
I think we're getting just a standard RV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real. Well, you know, standard is something else, Don. I mean, what is standard, really? When you're thinking about what standard is, you know, standard could be something you hook onto the back of your pickup truck.
Yeah, okay.
Or standard could be that long, you know, the big ones now are the bus-like ones that, right. You know, have the big windows in the front, and then they actually have a button you can press where you shoot out the one side of it when you park it, so you've got a bigger living room.
You know what would be great is if we could get one of those big stainless steel Airstream trailers.
Oh, that'd be even better.
You guys, remember where you're working.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the company we're working for.
Maybe we could get a flatbed.
Maybe we could get a van.
It's going to be like...
Down by the river.
Do you remember when Homer went to buy an RV?
Right.
Do you remember the RV that Homer Simpson bought?
That's what we're going to have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Homer went in to buy an RV, and he liked the fancy one. He liked the one that had the microwave and the color TV, and they ran the credit check on Homer Simpson, and the red police light went off on top of the computer, and all Homer could afford was this piece of garbage.
Right.
And I think that you should probably look more in that area.
I would probably be the only one on this show that's actually gone RV shopping.
Recently. Probably.
I took my whole family out, and we looked at RVs. Of course, you know, it's not something that we really plan on buying, but we actually went to the RV store, and we walked around. My kids love running around the RVs. They really, for some strange reason, they said, Daddy, can we get an RV? They want an RV. I'm not sure why, but I love, you know, I love a home on wheels. I really do.
Ever since you lived in the trailer.
When I lived in the trailer lifestyle has always been something that I enjoy, and just mention to them when you're talking to the RV people that, you know, but I'd be willing to handle the wheel for a while.
No, I think a part of the deal with
whoever
we rent the RV from or whoever we borrow the RV from is going to demand, again, hold on.
Right. You're the program director.
No, think about the discussion we had before we came on the air today.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Counting pennies at WJFK.
Counting half cents here.
Of course. Absolutely.
We don't just count pennies. What they do is... they have a machine in the back there office here. And what they do is they have a machine that actually will slice a penny into four separate pieces.
Right.
So that as they do the books here, they can actually pay you by the quarter penny, meaning 25% of one penny.
They actually have drills here that your indoctrination when you come to work at WJFK. How to slice an English muffin into thirds. How to take toilet paper and separate the flies. You know, all sorts of games like that that teach you how to be thriftier.
Part of the, I know you've seen the manual before. Tissue paper.
Right.
Why not reuse it?
Yes.
You know, if
exactly.
As I recall, the CBS manual says it's your boogers, and if you let them sit in the tissue long enough,
right,
they harden.
Yes.
And what you can do is just crumple up a different part of the tissue and blow your nose again. And for a while, they wanted the same thing with toilet paper.
Right.
You know, toilet paper, why not use it twice in a row?
Making sales calls by bicycle.
Sure.
You know, lots of different things that we do here at WJFK in Washington that they don't do at any radio station in the country. It's fascinating. Yeah,
the condensed orange juice, you know,
right,
the kind where you have to add like a quart of water to
sure,
it. Right.
Exactly.
That's what we get around here.
Buy your own coffee, you know, that type of thing. That works all the time.
They're cheap. Mike and I got a story that we could tell you.
Why use a copy machine when you can actually, use a clear sheet of paper to trace?
We got a story that we could take. Carbon paper still being used.
Carbon paper, absolutely. Mimeograph. Wow.
We have a story that we could tell you that we won't because we hope it has a happy ending.
Yes, of course.
But there is a story currently involving this show and some money issues.
Very, very interesting.
It has nothing to do with us. Like, right. no money to us or anything. But
right.
It would amaze you how friggin' cheap.
It will fascinate you.
This company is, and hopefully we'll have a resolution to it, and we will be able to tell you about it.
Absolutely.
Shortly, but suffice to say, come on, you know we're not getting an RV when they're that friggin' cheap.
No.
With the deal that we're talking about now, with the issue that's come up.
Unless you hear us talking a lot about RVs, then you'll know we got a good one. If we start talking about RVs, you hear us saying, hey, we want to thank such and such RV, you'll know we got it for free.
Right. Right. And of course, that's going to be the main, I think, part of the meeting is who can we get an RV from for free.
They don't like to rent them, Don. You know why they don't like to rent them? Because of the insurance costs.
And then, and that's why I've already been told that we have to have a driver.
Ah.
That we won't be able to drive because we most likely are going to be, you know, borrowing one.
Okay.
Sorry, Mike. We've used the same coffee filter upstairs.
I'm an excellent driver.
we worked here 10 years. Same coffee filter upstairs.
Right.
In the machine.
Right.
10 years.
A lot of radio stations have a refrigerator where you can keep your food. We have an actual ice box where the ice man has to come upstairs with the blocks of ice.
Oh, like Curly.
Yeah, exactly.
Three Stooges. Or they say if it's today it's about 30 degrees outside.
Right.
Just open your window and put your food out on the windowsill.
Sure. Right.
Let nature be your refrigerator.
Keep it chilled. That's very good.
And same in the summer. You want to heat up something?
Right.
Why do you need a microwave?
Put it in the sun.
Put it out in the sun.
Right. You don't see many businesses, and especially a radio station, where all the office furniture is wicker.
Right.
I think that's fascinating, they say, including the desks.
And
wicker desks.
And I'm proud to tell you that Joe Ardinger, Slow Joe, here from our show, the world's oldest phone screener.
Uh-huh.
Joe is approaching 50 years old, and,
yes,
he's still screening our calls.
Right.
He is the vice president in charge of rinsing styrofoam cups.
Right.
So that they can be reused by other office members.
Absolutely.
Somebody had to do it.
And then, of course, the paging system, which is, putting a string in them.
Don't want to
poke a little hole and just go from desk to desk.
Don't want to say this place is cheap. You know, I'm dying to talk about this.
We shouldn't.
I know we shouldn't, but I'm dying
to
tell you. I'm dying. I'm dying.
Dying.
I'm dying to tell you why this place is so cheap.
It's an interesting building,
but
really
we pass the savings on to you.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Because we care.
To you, the radio consumer. Well, hopefully tomorrow, you know what, I'm going to write myself, I'll post it right now, that tomorrow talk about...
Isn't there a piece of paper you've already used that you could use instead?
Well, use the back side of it.
Talk about... money.
Money!
Talk about money. Okay.
And
again, it has nothing to do, it's nothing to do with Mike or I and
right,
our salary or any money that we're owed. It has nothing to do with anything like that.
No, it's just interesting.
It's it's a little insight into how this place is run. Just let me say that there's a chance for this place, for this company,
mm-hmm,
to be the good guy.
Oh,
There's a chance.
Well, there's a chance. You know how they grab those chances.
There's a chance. There's a situation out there. There's a chance for them to really come out and look like good guys.
Of course. Of course there is.
Good guys.
Interesting.
Okay, so...
the JFK good guys. Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, they don't know this yet, but very soon, what we're going to do is we're going to start reducing the number of sports junkies we have. There are four guys who do the show, and they don't know that tonight one of them is going to be fired, and then next week another one's going to be fired, and eventually it's just going to be one guy pretending to be all four guys.
Yeah, they'll still call the show the Sports Junkies.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's it. And then each year, at the end of the year, of course, there's an award ceremony for who's the thriftiest, and you know, each year one employee walks home with the coveted McWilliams. And, you know, it's fantastic. That's how, you know, the cost-cutting can work. Yeah, and it's a really coveted prize, the McWilliams.
Well, let's call the cheap Alan Line one right
now. Very good.
He's our boss.
That is our boss, right?
He's our boss. He's our boss here at WJFK.
Big Al, your radio pal.
Just to see how things are going. Tell him that we have not violated the circle of trust.
Not at all.
We have not talked about the situation.
I'll be watching you, Falker.
They will take you downtown.
Alan might be busy. I saw him this morning crocheting some carpet for the hallway.
There you go.
Take you downtown to Chinatown.
I will bring you down. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
Oh, well, he's not picking
if
up.
You corrupt my firstborn, Falker.
He has a chance. He has a chance to be a hero right now.
Yes.
Right. At this day and age, and I'm talking, you know, not a hero along the lines of 9/11.
Right. No. Of course not.
He has a chance to be a hero. Right now, I imagine he's in the fetal position under his desk because the voicemail has not picked up yet.
No.
And, you know, if he picks up the phone call, he gets charged for the call as a complete call.
That's true. Why don't you go back to his office and pick up the phone?
Okay, Doc.
Okay.
That's the way they like to communicate, too, is sending people with messages.
Right? Said, I'll bet the door is shut.
You know what we have on the roof here?
What?
We've got, like, cages full of pigeons.
What do they do?
They send messages to the other radio stations in the chain.
I see.
Well, you know what? I don't see why we don't just...
Carrier pigeons.
I don't see why we don't just talk about it.
Yeah, that'd probably get you in trouble.
Yeah, but I talked to Ken about it already. Ken agrees.
Well, you're the manager. I mean, you're the program director.
Yeah, well, Ken agrees, though. I mean, Ken agrees with the station, or someone should do the right thing here.
Well, absolutely.
Mm. I think it's interesting that Alan Linewine, the general manager, is not... Well, Rob, what are you doing here? We sent you back to answer his phone.
He is on his phone, and he will call you as soon as he gets off. I think he's on the phone with Sam's Club.
Oh, really?
He's on the phone with who?
He's in his office.
Sam's Club getting a good deal on transistors.
Making butter sandwiches.
Gotcha. Okay.
Can't you slice that thinner?
Yeah.
This can't be too annoying just to have another line ring. Is the line ringing?
You can't hear it. I imagine what happens is he's probably seeing a flashing light on his phone. He's got one of the fancy phones.
Here's an occasional beep.
Uh-huh.
Great food here at the station.
Best.
Monday is mayonnaise. Uh-huh. Tuesday, mustard. Uh-huh. Wednesday, ketchup.
And don't forget, and on Thursday, the ketchup, you add a little water. It's tomato soup day.
Right. Absolutely.
So make
soup with
day.
Your crust of bread.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Excuse me.
Hey, you're on the air.
That sounded attractive, didn't it?
I liked it.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just curious, when you guys were talking about Don getting his hand caught in the car door, I don't know if you remember or not, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, when he banged his head off the bottom of the table in the studio.
When did you do that?
When did I bang my head?
I don't remember that.
I banged my head on what?
Well, it sounded like you raised up or hit your head on the table or on a table or hit something, but you went through a big tyrant over that. And
I have a very low threshold for pain, sir. I mean, a paper cut will put me.
I do hate it when Ron goes through a big tyrant.
I just was just curious if that you couldn't find a tape of the car door incident. I didn't know if there was still. You know, that tape of the table incident.
Well, I don't know, and I'm sure I had a big tyrant that day as well.
Absolutely.
But stay tuned, because very soon I think we might have a tape of Don going off on a stupid caller.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that could be, too. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah. See you later.
So long, tyrant.
Man. You know, as I go through, what did that guy say again? That I had a what?
You had a tyrant.
You had a big tyrant.
One of my favorite tyrads of all time, incidentally, is Adolf Hitler.
Yes, a good tyrant.
He was a good tirade.
He was a tirade, yes.
Tirade.
Stalin, good tirade. Yeah. Castro,
Mussolini,
tirade.
Mussolini, good tirade.
All tirades.
Good tirade. But me, when I get mad, man, I have a good tyrant.
A good tyrant, jumping up and down, stomping your feet. Yeah. You had a bit of a tyrant when you slammed your hand on the door. I do remember that.
Yeah, oh, okay. Sure. So
but you didn't break anything.
No.
No, not at all.
No. Listen. I got this article here. I guess Alan's not going to... would you just tell him that... go back and tell him that we'd like to talk about the thing.
He'll know what we're talking about.
And that it would be nice to talk about the thing. Tell him we've not talked about the thing yet, but that we've talked about that there's a thing that we want to talk about.
Right.
And it would be nice to resolve the thing now, since we're talking about the thing now, but we haven't talked about the thing.
We want to win the good guy award.
The thing. We want the station to win the good guy
award.
Absolutely. Sure. Listen, there's an article today that I got to share with you. Johnny, roll the music, please. It's in today's USA Today.
This is pretty funny.
It is an article with Matt LeBlanc.
Right.
The guy who plays Joey on Friends.
Right.
Now, you know, Friends is an all right show.
Yeah, I mean, very successful.
Mm-hmm. I like Friends. I watch Friends when it's on. I think Jennifer Aniston is still a great APOA.
Sure is.
Oh, and at some point, we've got to re-rate women. You know, since we started this phenomenon about 5 years ago, where we actually rated women strictly on their physical beauty.
Right.
Every single, first Maxim magazine called us and said that they wanted to print our list.
Mm-hmm.
And what they ended up doing was stealing the idea and making their own list.
Right.
Now, all these magazines, Stuff, FHM, they've all got lists of the 100 sexiest women in the world.
Yeah, the hotties, the turbo hotties.
But I want to tell you, this is no BS. The thought of rating a woman as if she were a piece of meat and attaching a number to her,
yes,
that happened on this show. It started on this show.
First. Yeah, and then they all ran with it, and we're very bummed out about that. But we have to re-rate the women because our list is very old.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And, I mean, we give them a grade. We give them between a 0 and a 10 share.
That's right, exactly. And you can use the decimal system.
Yeah, and then we actually come up with a ranking of, I think we have, like, the 100 hottest women and then maybe, right, like, the 15 or 20th ugly women.
Yeah, I think we have. Well, we actually have the list of 100, and then down towards the bottom you had Janet Reno.
And Jennifer Aniston, gets back to Friends.
She was in the top 10.
She's always been in the top 10. As a matter of fact, I think the last time we rated women, you know, I don't think we did it last year.
No, we didn't.
I don't think we did. The last time we did it was in 1990, or was it 2000?
I think we did it in 99.
In 99, right. Because that's when we were both so fascinated with Leah, when the relationship was new.
Well, you know what? We said, I think, when we were talking about doing it all over again, we said, well, we wouldn't really put Leah up there. But now that Leah's been on the cover of Stuff magazine, she's very strong.
I'll tell you, back in 1999, okay, hold on.
Here's the note I passed him.
Rob passed him a note that said they haven't yet, but Don and Mike would like to talk about the thing.
And here's his reply.
His reply, he wrote back, what thing? I will be rolling out on appointment after
this phone call.
All right, let me...
But he will call you as soon as...
Hold on, let me... I'll write the note. The
blank thing.
All right, here's what I've written, Mike. The...
Okay,
that's pretty...
Yeah, absolutely. He'll understand that.
Send that note back. In 1999, I promise I'll get to this Matt LeBlanc thing in a second. When we last rated women in 1999...
Who was number one?
We both had Leah number one, and it was because we were just sucking up to her.
Sure.
Number one, aside from Leah Remini, on my list was Jennifer Aniston.
She was your number one?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I had her rated at a 9.3.
Okay. Good choice.
Outside of Leah, your number one was Kathy Ireland, which you gave an 8.5 to.
Very good.
Now this is why we've got to update this list, because I had as my... third hottest woman overall with Leah number one, Anne Heche. I was going through the Heche phase.
Boy, that's disappointing.
I was going through a phase.
Sure.
You know, I was watching that... I was watching that movie with Harrison Ford where she's walking on the beach. And I still
bad judgment there.
I still think she's hot, but she's not the third hottest woman in the world.
Who'd I have as my number two?
Alyssa Milano.
That holds up. Yeah.
Then you go to number three when you take Leah out of it. And I have Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And Mike has Denise Richards.
Ooh.
Then number five with the Leah factor, again, for me was Elizabeth Hurley.
Right.
Who I still would have way up on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Number five for you was Shania.
Shania Twain. I think my list has legs.
Number six for me was Shania. Number six for you was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay.
Number seven for me was Jennifer Lopez. Number seven for you was Heidi Klum.
Ooh, hello, Heidi Klum.
Number eight for me was Daisy Fuentes. Number eight for you was Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Ah.
Number nine for me was Kelly Preston. Number nine for you was Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, very good.
And number 10 for me was Catherine Zeta-Jones. And number 10 for you was Jennifer Aniston.
Ah, very good. Okay.
So, I mean, we've actually... don't believe... Oh, you got Alan?
Yeah.
Now, does he know we want to talk about the thing?
Yeah, he does. And he will, I guess, share his position.
Okay, all right. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
There he is, everybody. We were just discussing how cheap this company is.
Hello, Alan.
How you doing, guys?
First off, let me tell you, we've not talked about the thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We've not talked about it.
You're a man of your word.
But it would be nice to talk about the thing. When do you think we might be able to talk about the thing to get some resolution to this thing that our audience is dying to know what it is?
Absolutely. And as soon as I can give you that information, which shouldn't be too far down the road, you know I'm working on some things back.
Okay,
here.
So what do you think? By the end of today's show or by the latest tomorrow?
It may be early next week.
Well, listen,
there's a lot of moving pieces.
You know, Monday is it's a holiday. It's Doug Track Day,
mm-hmm.
So everybody gets Monday off.
That's right, for
the Grease Man Day off. but we'd like to, you know, as I said when I was in the meeting yesterday with those guys, really, you know, this is something that can just bite us right in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really. I think, don't you agree with me, Mike, that not to back anyone into a corner, but
not at all.
If you guys can't resolve this by tomorrow, Mike and I will fix it.
Alan?
Oh, I'm listening.
Oh,
I thought you were talking to each other. I'm
sorry. No, I'm talking to you.
We were kind of waiting for a response there.
Well, I don't think that... listen, Don, you know, I actually did agree with your concept on this, so I think you know that. So
okay.
Let's let me work what I need to work at this end, and we'll get back in.
All right, let me just say, for those who are wondering...
Don't say too much.
All right, in our opinion, there was a grave injustice that was done to someone.
Yes, and we want to fix that, and we want to report it to you as soon as we can.
That's all I want to say. That's the thing. There was a grave injustice done to someone. So not anyone who works at this radio station
or
at any radio
station. Something that's pretty significant. We want to see it resolved, whether right or wrong.
Even vaguer than that would be good.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Al.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Sometimes you got to do the little fire lighting there, and that's exactly what that was.
And we promise you that tomorrow with the thing, if he doesn't resolve the thing, we'll resolve it. Mm-hmm. And he's afraid that if we resolve it, that other bad things are going to happen that, frankly, we don't give a crap about.
We don't. We really don't.
We don't. It's just it's a wrong, rather, that has to be righted.
And we think we should do it ASAP.
Right.
Sure. Not the kind of thing you should wait around.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Don and Mike,
you guys are the greatest.
Thanks.
I listen to you every day, man. I've called before. I'm Don from Southeast Washington. I guess you could call me an angry black guy from Southeast.
Very good. Why are you angry?
Well, you guys have that list, and it's a good list that it is, but... you got to get a little color on that list, man.
Well, I think the list would have more color because I would definitely put Halle Berry in my top five.
Absolutely. Well, now, let me see.
Yes,
as
Halle
I look,
Berry, Angela Bassett.
Well, now, wait, hold on. Let me look. Now, remember, now, this list, the last time we rated women was nearly almost 3 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
At the time, I did have Vanessa Williams as my number 19 woman.
Right.
19?
19.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm with you, sir.
Let me see, Mike, let me go for the highest rated sister you have. You have Vanessa Williams at 23. Then I have, let me see, I have Halle Berry at 37.
Right.
Wow, that's way down there, isn't it?
Where did I have Oprah?
Mike, you have Halle Berry at 28.
Oprah.
Here's one you want to reconsider, Mike. You have Whitney Houston at 37.
Yeah, and well, she's gotten all skinny and stuff.
And now here's a sister I'll move away.
Whitney is having a little problem with snow.
Yes, she is.
All right, now here's a sister.
Losing a lot of weight.
Here's a sister that would be climbing my list if we redid it today. I have Vivica A. Fox. This was obviously before she was married to Will Smith.
Right.
I've got her at number 47.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, what about, think of Stacey Dash?
I think she's a hottie.
I think so, too.
And where would Jada Pinkett Smith be?
You
also had to put Beyonce Knowles in there, too.
Who?
Beyonce.
Oh, okay.
And how about
Destiny's Child? You know who I'm talking about, right?
Right.
I guess he doesn't.
Okay, goodbye. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to write that down on my notepad, too. Tomorrow, talk about the thing, and also, we got to re-rate women.
Absolutely.
We got to do it, because now I'm getting the itch to do it.
Sure.
Now that
I think we should
it.
Do it. I love doing
and
that.
And we got to get some research. We got to get some, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get some of the other lists.
Right.
To find out who's hot now, because I'm sure we'll forget who's, we'll do the list and we'll forget who's hot now.
What's your name? Brooke Burke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the girl for me, right?
Yeah, Brooke Burke.
I will tell you this, that as far as the ugliest women go, I'll give you our top five.
They hold up, don't they?
The last time that we did this 3 years ago.
Very good.
Together, now, this is you and I together. Our votes averaged as one. The ugliest woman in the world, celebrity-wise, was Linda Tripp.
Yes, I stand by that.
Second was Janet Reno.
Right.
Third was Monica Lewinsky.
Very good.
Fourth was Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Huh. And in fifth place, Annie Potts.
Annie Potts.
Annie Potts.
Kind of a personal little vindictive thing from when she was on the show years ago.
We hate Annie Potts.
We did not like Annie Potts and Dixie Carter when they came in.
But I'm going to write that down for tomorrow. Re-rate women. As a matter of fact, right out of the chute tomorrow. Mm-hmm. First thing. We'll start making our list.
But very good.
Goddamn, there's not too many things that we can actually claim on this show are 100% genuine, original, never been thought of before.
Right.
But the thought of rating women as if they are pieces of meat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is something that did originate on this show many
Amen,
years
brother.
Ago. And we want to get that going. Hello, Sean, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I wanted to... Who put Helen Hunt on their list?
That's me, Don. Hi.
Yeah, why'd you put her on your list?
Don's always had a thing for Helen Hunt.
I'm going to tell you something. Helen Hunt, and don't delete me out because I'm not...
Really, still.
And don't delete out because I'm not saying her name the bad way.
Right.
Okay?
Now, how come this is... Since that list was made, you saw her on Behind the Actor's Studio.
Yes, and she is a bitch on wheels.
And you really... That really lowered your opinion of her.
But we are talking simply about the physical appearance.
Mm.
Even lately.
Even
yeah.
with her...
Always a controversy when we're talking about Helen.
Yeah,
Hunt.
Well, I watched Castaway over the weekend, part of it on HBO, and I'm sorry, I'd F Helen Hunt in a heartbeat.
There you go.
Watch Castaway on her forehead.
And
bad in that movie.
Rob doesn't like Helen Hunt.
She's got a big forehead. She combs her hair right. Yeah. She's very attractive.
Yeah, and you got a nice small one, Rob.
Well, you know what? I'm not on your list either.
No, you're not. Well,
maybe someday.
That's what you think.
Oh,
all right, goodbye. See you later.
Very cool. Always, I look forward to doing that.
It's always very controversial when we rate women.
Yes, especially Helen Hunt.
So we'll do it tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
Oh, we got a break? Okay, then I've got to read you. This guy, Matt LeBlanc, this is what got us going on this topic.
Right.
There's an article in USA Today, and if there was ever an actor on a show that really is just, it's good, but it's worthless dribble, who's taken himself more serious than Matt LeBlanc.
It's what happens in Hollywood.
I defy you to find that actor, and we will delve into the psyche of Matt LeBlanc right after this, okay?
And Mike show.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put this stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Yes, sir.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Could we get any more lasers in that?
Are we playing asteroids or what?
I'm kidding.
I swear to you, we used every laser in the package we own.
That's pretty amazing.
And sometimes five of the same one.
I'm kidding, of course.
Ladies, show some pink.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, ladies. tomorrow, a big show tomorrow.
All right.
We'll talk about the thing tomorrow.
Oh, good.
We'll resolve that in the first break.
We'll give you all the details.
We'll also be re-rating women on tomorrow's show.
Very good.
We're going to start that. Now, that's not something we can do in one show.
Feel free to call in with your suggestions.
That is an ongoing process. Let me see. Also tomorrow, the Vegas show entry is going to read some to you today. We'll have news about our big RV show, driving around the Beltway, giving away money.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Joe Theismann, who was married to Kathy Lee, not Gifford, Crosby.
Right.
Talking about the NFL playoffs. Chuck Stossel and, once again, Robert the Angry Mailman.
Very good.
And brand-new Jeff R.D., all of that on tomorrow's episode. If you want to enter the contest to win the Las Vegas-style show at your house
right.
the night before the Super Bowl, send us a letter, please, to our fax machine telling us why you should win the Super Bowl Las Vegas-style show at your house.
Now, we went into great detail yesterday about what we're looking for in the letters, and yes. we've gotten some very good letters, too.
And the fax number is 1-800-636-6410. Look, you got a nice big stack here already.
Very good.
A stack, I will just, I'm not going to read them to you now. We'll read some later. I'm telling you that they go all the way from Annandale, Virginia, which is the D.C. area, Roseville, California, which
right.
is Sacramento. Let me see, Sacramento, Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey, Connecticut.
Good.
Iowa. Las Vegas.
What better place for a Vegas-style show?
Yeah. Reno. Baltimore. Seattle.
Seattle.
Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
And perhaps the one that we're really going to have to worry about, and I'm telling you, it's a good letter.
Right.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. The letter from Anchorage
yeah.
is a killer letter.
Very good.
It's a killer letter.
Wow.
Okay, that would be... That would be tough.
That yeah. would be tough.
That would be tough.
Yes, it would.
Maybe
a wagon train.
Maybe we'll have to limit this contest to the contiguous United States.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, keep the letters coming, and we'll pick the winner sometime next week on the show. Okay. Hey, Johnny, roll that that Friends music in if you got that, please. Thank you. So, these actors on Friends, they're nice enough, they're likable,
they're overpaid.
Yeah, you know, they're pleasant to look at. It's a nice, dumb show on Thursday night. Everybody watches it.
They're easy on the eye.
But they're not changing the face of television.
No, no, not at all.
And up to this point, I've not seen any of them interviewed where they are acting that way. I mean, I've seen Jennifer Aniston, and she says, oh, it's a show.
Right.
I see Lisa Kudrow, she has a show. Matthew Perry, even he has just said it. Yeah.
Now, I have seen Matt LeBlanc on with Leno, and he has a little perspective problem.
Well, right? Let me share the article with you.
Sure.
Pal Joey. Call his character sweet or sexy, but not dumb.
Oh, of course not.
Says Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, geez.
One of America's best friends is falling in love with a friend of his own. Tonight on Friends, Joey finally acknowledges he has feelings for Rachel. That's a big step for him and for Matt LeBlanc, the actor who has played Joey for 8 years. Sexually charged and somehow still blissfully innocent, Joey has served as the comic relief from the show's weightier romantic storylines. Now listen to this. Here's the first sign the guy's absolutely full of himself with his head up his ass.
Right.
With rare exceptions, Matt LeBlanc says he is the team's fullback.
Oh, God.
The guy, this is a quote, the guy who comes in with a giant joke and is very light and doesn't have any heavier dramatic moments in the show. The dramatic stuff is more Monica Chandler, Rachel Ross. This is really fun. This is just different.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, because Monica gives us so much drama.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Chandler gives us so much drama.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, you're the fullback.
Yeah, you're the heavy-duty jokester.
Different, maybe an understatement. Now you're going to hear a quote from the co-creator of the show, the producer of the show. This is life-altering for Joey. The fact that tonight he's going to tell Rachel that he has feelings for her. Joey didn't know what he wanted. It turns out he's not as shallow as he thought he was.
My God, it's a TV show.
And yeah. We're talking about a made-up guy here.
Right.
Listen, I got news for you. Joey's not three-dimensional. Joey's made up.
Right.
Joey is shallow because he's not real.
Absolutely.
Let me see. The producer also hopes the story will help change the way people think about Matt LeBlanc, who she believes doesn't get his just due, perhaps because his comic style seems so effortless.
Oh, poor Joey. Yes.
I think he's the most underrated actor of the six of them. Oh, yeah, he was good in that movie with the monkey.
Ed.
Jesus, this is too much.
I absolutely adore him. He's fun, he's perceptive, and he's smart.
Yes, he's great, 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 great.
So now you're hearing just the producer. Wait till you hear, actually, Matt LeBlanc, what he has to say. Sitting in his rose-colored, candlelit dressing room.
Oh, my God.
Wow. On the first day back from his Christmas break, the 34-year-old actor seemed slightly embarrassed by the praise and by the interview.
Duh! I'm just a little uncomfortable being singled out. Duh! I'm just part of an ensemble.
Yeah, that's the fake modesty that they always throw in, right?
Well, yes. But he's a crucial component of that ensemble.
Can this guy crawl any further into his butt?
LeBlanc has created a uniquely likable character. A womanizer whose sexual narcissism is outweighed by his generosity of spirit.
What?
His joy for life. And his complete devotion to his friends.
Well, what the hell?
Right.
What are we doing here? This is a television show.
This is the dumb guy on Friends.
Right.
Okay?
Who's the guy that wrote the article?
You want the synopsis of the character? He's the dumb guy on Friends.
That's right.
That's who he is. In the wake of the show's success...
Robert Bianco, that's who wrote it.
In the wake of the show's success, many sitcoms added Joey clones to their casts. Uh-huh. But... without the sweet spin LeBlanc puts on the character.
Hi, Robert. This is Craig Wilson. Do you have any whiteout I can use over here?
Yes, there is.
What they got were annoyingly stupid stud puppets. Yet LeBlanc hesitates to admit even the most obvious point. It's been a very good season for Joey.
Duh. Yeah, I guess. Duh. Look, they've all been good seasons for Joey. Duh. I feel fortunate to be part of something that is so great and well-received and well-written. Duh. I enjoy it here.
So do 26 million people a week. As Friends enjoys a creative and ratings resurgence that is rare as it is unexpected.
My God, can you imagine anything ever being written like this about us?
Amazing.
After the painful events of September 11th, many experts in the TV industry thought a fantasy sitcom set in New York would no longer sit well with viewers.
Oh, right. Who said that?
I don't recall anyone ever saying after the Twin Towers were destroyed that Friends would not be a popular show anymore.
Many experts in the TV industry. I love when they write things like that. Vague. Very vague.
But instead, the show is drawing its largest audience since 1996. LeBlanc has heard the theory that familiar favorites, such as Friends, are serving as a source of comfort in a time of need.
Oh, my God.
But like most of us, he has no idea whether there's any truth to the notion.
I want to talk about a schmooze puff piece here.
The quotes from him are great.
Can we write this writer a check?
As an only child who grew up in Massachusetts, blah, 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 LeBlanc got his start in New York as a model.
Hi there.
Surprise.
Duh!
On the back wall of his dressing room, he has a picture of the lower Manhattan skyline with the World Trade Center in the foreground.
Duh! I'll keep that there. If anything, duh, it means more now.
Extremely profound.
Very nice.
Of course, the show wouldn't be much comfort if it also weren't funny. LeBlanc thinks the writing has been particularly strong this year, and he believes the series has benefited from Rachel's pregnancy, which has steered the show back to its original Ross Rachel focus.
So somebody who likes Friends that's writing this article.
Right. I mean, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I know that Matthew Perry is married to Courtney Cox, right?
I don't know.
That's all I know about Friends.
Not in real life, though.
No, but I mean, on the show,
they're married.
Like all the actors, and I know Jennifer Aniston's pregnant.
Yes, right. She is.
On the show and allegedly in real life, she's also pregnant. I mean, that's the rumor. Like all the actors, LeBlanc says he's proud of the work he's done on Friends, and he's protective of his character.
Yes, protect that character.
There's one reason he's worried about Joey's attraction to Rachel. He's always thought of Rachel as a sister. When he heard about the story, his first thought was that it was incestuous.
Oh, God.
Please.
God, I mean, can we take it a little more serious?
He's right to be concerned.
Anytime a show tampers with the relationships among its characters, it risks fans' revolt. Woo! Viewers may see the plot twist as contrived or even lazy.
No.
First, Chandler hooks up with Monica. Now, Joey pursues Rachel. What's more, the story alters the chemistry the show has worked so hard to establish. And if fans don't buy it, getting out of the story would be harder than getting in.
Oh, no.
Friends' continued success is a considerable financial interest to Warner Brothers, blah, 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 blah. Peter Roth, the president of Warner Brothers, says he was a little concerned when the Joey-Rachel story was broached. But after he read the script and saw how tastefully the story was handled in the episode, his worries went away. Now, this is...
Is there any negative in here?
This is the president of Warner Brothers. Here's a quote from him. In lesser hands, it might be of some concern. But in the hands of these writers, in the hands of two such wonderful actors, we have no worries.
Boy, just print it. Print it when it comes right from the studio executive.
Okay. You're talking about Joey telling Rachel that he likes her.
Right.
On Friends.
That's it. I mean, we're reading a little too much into it.
And for this, they're having meetings. We're hearing from the president of Warner Brothers. LeBlanc insists he doesn't know where the story's headed. And he doesn't want to know. Because he doesn't want to be disappointed.
Well, if he gets hit by a bus, I bet he'd
want to
know.
If women want to hug and console him, most of the credit goes to LeBlanc for bringing a sweetness to the role that hadn't been envisioned. LeBlanc prefers to share the credit, but he does say he lobbied for a change in Joey's original libido level.
I lobbied for this change, Dad.
Dad!
And when I go, Dad, I'm reading a quote from LeBlanc.
Dad, in the pilot, Dad, Joey tried to sleep with all the girls on the show. Dad, I said, if this Joey guy can't have a platonic relationship with at least these three women on the show, then why would they be friends with him? Right. I don't buy they would like this guy or want to have this guy in their home. If he's constantly hitting on them.
Another profound statement from Joey.
One thing that hasn't changed is Joey's startling inability to grasp the obvious. Indeed, some of the show's funniest moments have come from LeBlanc's delayed reactions to the world around him. It could be as complex as Joey's refusal to see that Chandler was falling for one of his girlfriends, or as simple as the just-a-beat-late flash of recognition he gave when he was the last to figure out the father of Rachel's baby.
Oh, my God.
But whatever you do, don't call Joey dumb.
Who says I'm dumb?
God.
Duh! I don't think he's dumb.
LeBlanc insists.
I think he's wrong. He's absolutely sure he's right. The only problem is, he's not.
This is very deep stuff.
Wow.
There have been episodes where I wonder, how did he get his shoes tied this morning? But I guess that's the license you have in television.
Wow. Let's take it a little more seriously.
Amazing. The downside of Joey's appeal and LeBlanc's skill is that people tend to confuse the two.
Sure.
Skill. Not only do they think he's Joey,
of course,
they think he's one of their best friends. When LeBlanc has been out in public with his Lost in Space buddy Gary Oldman, people have been wary of Oldman because he's played so many villains. But they walk right up to LeBlanc and slap him on the back.
Everybody does that.
Because he's Joey.
Right.
Skill. That's one of the things that happens on TV. You learn to accept it.
Because you're so hot.
I can't think of worse things.
Despite the fame, LeBlanc says life's pretty good. He's engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Melissa McKnight. Though no wedding day's been set, it's no secret that LeBlanc's film career has not gone as well as his TV work.
Shocker.
People use Ed, his movie with an A, as a synonym for the cast's general inability to translate their appeal to the big screen.
There we go.
Still, he's enjoyed making his films. He liked Lost in Space. And he had a good time making Eddie Izzard's soon-to-be-released All the Queen's Men. But he's content to rest his reputation on Friends.
Friends is the kind of thing you hope for. It's the one-in-a-million shot. Am I ever going to be involved with a project as big as this again? Odds are no. Do I need to be in blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster?
Well, you can't be.
No. I don't need that.
And I'm glad he knows that.
Yeah. Obviously, no conversation with LeBlanc is complete without two inevitable questions. The first one he's heard for 8 years. Do the cast members really get along? The answer, he says, is...
Duh. Yes.
Of course it is.
Huh. Duh. I love those other five people. In the beginning, it was a conscious effort on all of our parts to get along. In doing that, we really took a good look at each other and realized we really like each other. Duh.
The newer question is whether the actors are returning for another season.
Duh. I don't know. I'm not going to guess in a national newspaper. Duh. I come from a very blue-collar background. I'm not carrying anything heavy. I'm not working in the rain. It's a cakewalk.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joey.
Lovely.
That's taking, friends, a television show about as seriously as you can.
All of the insight into the character of Joey.
Joey, and boy, I hope they don't mess with the characters.
A marvelous testament to his skills.
Yes, his lovely skills.
His skills.
A certain sweetness that he has, Rob.
Yeah, don't call him dumb, though, please.
Don't call him dumb. You know, other shows rush to copy his character because sitcoms have never had a dumb guy on them before.
Never.
No, you know, that doesn't work on sitcoms.
Well, listen, Buzzo, they rush to copy it, but they can't do it.
That's right.
They can't come up with the sweetness.
No, not the sweetness that Matt LeBlanc has.
Is that right. The skills of him or the skills of the writer?
Hello, I'm Robert Bianco. Very good. I have a cover story. I'm going to call it Pal Joey. I'll read it to you over lunch.
It's a testament to Joey Tribbiani.
Please have lunch with me, won't you, please?
And you have to know at the end of the interview, it was like...
Well, that was, nice meeting you, and I hope you give me a good write-up in your paper.
I certainly will. I think you'll love it. God, I want you.
Can I smell your napkin?
That's the way it goes.
Touching my privacy?
I have no wonder about USA Today, you know? What's going on over that paper?
Not that there's anything wrong.
Not that there's anything wrong.
USA Gay Today.
USA Today.
US Gay Today.
That's a lot of space just for a puff piece like that.
But, I mean, he is a guy that really just takes himself very seriously. I've seen him on Leno where he was doing that kind of stuff.
Don't call him dumb.
Hey, anywhere I go, people walk up and pat me on the back.
As a testament to my skill, duh.
Yeah, duh.
Because I'm Joey.
It's a sitcom, for God's sake, Joey.
Sometimes not even that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to talk to Mike. Me and my friend listen to you guys in Sacramento every break at work. We go out to my car and we just love you.
That's nice.
And I want to say that I don't know why you're on Paxil, but I've been on Prozac, and that made me almost go out of my skin. Paxil sent me down further into depression than I was before I got on it.
Really?
Cerazone made me really bad. I wanted to kill myself.
Right.
And you know, they tell you you have to wait 6 weeks.
Yes.
And it's a bunch of crap.
Right.
If you don't feel better, get off it.
Right.
Take this girl's advice, Mike.
Very good.
I went on Wellbutrin, and they said, you know, if you're prone toward anorexia, you know, you can't take it.
Oh,
well, I gained 20 pounds.
Wow.
And then,
honey, how many different pills have you been on?
I'm not on any now.
Have you been on?
I've been on...
All of them.
Six.
What's your doctor's name, Dr. Nick?
No. But what I wanted to tell you was that the Celexa is the only thing that worked for me with the least amount of side effects. It had no effect on my sex drive, and it actually made me happy, and I've been off it for 2 years.
Hold on. I believe that we have a message for you.
Akines, I can want that to not done.
You know, Don, there are days that I think revealing the fact that I went on that drug is the worst thing I could have ever done.
I think so.
It's
all right.
Terrible.
Thank you, honey.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your words of support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now go back to your candy dish.
Go take your pill.
Yeah, I don't need them.
Jeez Louise.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Talked to my guy, as a matter of fact, today. I forgot the appointment yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. Paxil makes you forgetful.
Right.
Because, you know, that lady, that was just a testament to her skill as a pill taker.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to pat her on the back.
Like one phone call, 8 different drugs.
All right, listen, guys, here you go. I want to tell you, we're going to play a game now.
Uh-huh.
And it's 3 words that strike fear into the heart of mortal men, but it's not the 3 words that you think.
What is it?
We're going to give away a DVD player right now from Sony.
Yes.
Along with a bunch of nice DVDs. When, and I promise we're going to only make this last one break today.
Very good.
It's time to bring back Don and Mike's Make
us laugh.
Oh, my God. Only one break. Famous last words.
No, really. Only one break today.
Make us laugh. You never know what you're going to get on Make Us Laugh.
Please, all you necks out there, this is not joke time.
Right.
You know, we don't want to hear, your mama is so fat today.
Right.
Cut her leg and gravy come out. Or,
but jokes have won on Make Us Laugh before.
But many times it's stuff besides jokes,
right,
that make us laugh. The point is, whatever you're doing,
I'm getting an instant feedback from John, who's our producer in New York.
Yeah.
It's just on the screen. No.
It's end with about 5,000 zeros after it.
Well, you'll find that everybody thinks they're funny.
Now, and also, please remember, this is not a bigotry contest, okay?
No, not at all.
So we don't want the end jokes or the, you know, the
Jew jokes.
Well, sometimes Jew jokes.
Now stop
good.
It.
No, we don't. No, it's not a bigotry contest. The point of it is, make us laugh.
Right.
That's all. If you actually just make us laugh. You could, for instance, I'll tell you something that would probably work today. You just called up and said, hey, on Friends, how's Joey Ardinger doing?
Right, exactly.
And I mean, okay, it's not side-splitting, but on today's show, after we just read the article, it might have worked.
Might catch us off guard. Absolutely.
Might have worked. You know, or you could say futon.
Futon. And then you just, you know, then you're, or Eddie Arnold.
So, here's what you want to do. You want to call us. And now, listen, we take these calls unscreened.
Oh, my God.
So there is no need to scream. Okay, just plunk the lines down. We'll take them live as we go. Nationally, 877-365-3636. D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. New York, 877-692-1027.
Can you make us laugh?
That's all you got to do is make us laugh.
Right.
Just me and Mike. Make us laugh.
Make us laugh.
Make us laugh, and you'll win a DVD player. This is rapidly becoming another one of those polarizing bits that people either absolutely love.
Yes, or they absolutely hate.
Or they absolutely hate it, which is why we're going with it again today.
Very good.
But I promise you this, for one break only.
One break only.
One break only.
Well, we always like to have a winner.
Right. 180-minute break.
Yeah, 180-minute break. So call now, and we'll play Make Us Laugh right after this, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
The home of Mr. Joe Ardinger.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. The Don and Mike Show.
That's a compliment, Joe.
That's right.
All right, Mike, you ready?
I am ready to laugh.
I know you love to laugh.
I do indeed.
You generally, yes. At least prior to Paxil, were an easy laugh.
Yeah, that might be all changed now.
Mm. I will tell you that I am in a rip-roaring, lip-smacking mood today.
That is good.
So let's go. Let's start with a call from New York. Make us laugh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Kent.
Where are you from?
From New Jersey.
Yeah, make us laugh.
Okay, Mike O'Mara. That's the biggest joke I know.
Okay. Yeah, come on now, please.
Now, that wasn't very kind, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Pat.
Where are you from?
Annandale.
I guarantee this guy can't make us laugh.
Sounds like he's struggling to get through the call.
Okay, make us laugh.
Three guys sitting in a bar one Sunday morning trying to figure out who was the drunkest from the night before. One guy goes up to the other two and says,
No.
Sorry.
Too much breathing. No. Three guys sitting at a bar jokes.
Like, too much breathing.
Please. Go back to the New York line. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
Hello.
You know, we don't screen these calls. We're just
speak to us.
We're just plopping down the line and taking them live. Hello.
Now, come on, man.
Well, Rob, hey, check that switch back there, will you? Because something's gone kaplooky there. Don and Mike Show.
Kaplooky.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. It's Pat Goss. Do you know what PG stands for?
What?
Bisexual Goss.
Nope. Didn't do it.
We were smiling, though.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Yes. And the guy, incidentally, when you're going to do it, maybe you got a shot, don't hang up as soon as you say it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That did make a smile.
If we had laughed, he would have been out of luck.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Radio Guide.
Hi, who's this?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric. Make us laugh.
Okay. What's brown, warm, and soft, and found in most kids' pants?
Oh, no, that's the Michael Jackson's hand thing.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
laugh with that.
Heard that a million times. Let's go try the New York lounge. You think you got those working again? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yo, what's up? This is Mike.
Mike, make us laugh.
Eddie Arnold just took a dump on my futon. Twice.
Close.
Very close.
Oh,
very fine effort.
Very close, but let me just say.
Fine effort.
Let me just say to you, Eddie, that's more what we're looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's more what we're looking for.
Very
Maybe
good.
A joke that no one else would get except...
Yes, but you know, commenting on the other day.
Me and Mike and the people who were listening to the show the other day. Hello, Don and Mike show. Who's this?
Someone that didn't have the courage to hang him.
They bailed out. Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Donald.
Donald, make us laugh.
No, very weak.
Dumbass.
Very bad.
Sorry.
You changed the name of this game to make us angry.
Yes. Well, that happens sometimes.
Let's go to back to the New York lines. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hi, who's this?
This is Chris from New York.
Chris, make us laugh.
I was with my wife the other day, and she sucked my mule so much that my coconut juice came shooting out of her nose. I have another one. Ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. You got to give us a chance to reset.
Okay.
Because
that was very, very close.
We smiled.
Yeah. Okay. Was with this girl, right?
Yeah.
I was giving it to her from behind. Do I keep it clean for the radio?
Yeah, please do.
Oh. Okay, so then I look at her, and she has a great ass. Put it inside her back door, right?
Yeah.
Put it into my back door. So I think to myself, how does a 9-year-old know what presumptuous means?
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
No.
No,
just horrible.
No. Hello.
Just terrible.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Really?
Hi. Who's this?
This is Steve.
Steve, make us laugh, please. Where are you from, Steve?
Spokane. You know what time it is at, you know what the bedtime is at Michael Jackson's house?
No, I'm sorry. No, he screwed up the joke to start off with. What is bedtime at Michael Jackson's house?
When the big hand is on the little hand.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Pat Goss again. Hey, Don, I'd like to be a sports junkie. Money.
Too late.
Yeah.
You missed your chance the first time.
Very good.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Clint.
Where are you from, Clint?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Make us laugh.
Come to Alaska and do your Las Vegas style show. Nothing.
Silence.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the 877s. 692-1027 line. Hello.
So, this always happens. We get angrier and angrier.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Make us laugh.
Hey, what's up? It's Jose. All right, want to laugh?
Yeah.
G. Gordon Liddy's ratings.
Okay.
That's a smile. Come on now.
No, that's a smile. You got to smile.
Again, we smile, no laugh.
It's his ratings.
Johnny.
He's got Opie and Anthony's in too, but, you know.
Take the next one, Johnny. Take the next one. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
From New Jersey.
Hi there. Make us laugh.
Okay. American goes to Japan for a business meeting. Night before, he visits a geisha house, has relations with a woman, really going to town. She seems to be enjoying it. She's yelling, Kunasaki, Kunasaki. He says, I must be good. Next day, he goes to the business meeting. It's on a golf course. Thinks a 50-foot putt. It's jumping up and down, yelling, Kunasaki, Kunasaki. And the one businessman turns to him and says, what do you mean, wrong hole?
Wrong hole.
Wrong hole.
Wrong hole.
Yeah, wrong hole.
Wrong hole.
The punchline.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Who's this?
George.
Where are you from, George?
D.C.
Make us laugh.
Eddie Arnold came to town sitting on his crouton.
Come on,
enough
people.
Enough with the Eddie Arnold futon. Stop.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Craig Wilson. How are you doing today?
You know, this would have made us laugh if you hadn't called with it already.
Right.
I mean, is this the original guy who calls?
Pretending? No, this is not. This is a different one. Making out with Eddie Albert.
You know who this is? This is Glenn the Janitor.
This is not Glenn the Janitor.
This is Glenn the Janitor.
This is not Glenn the Janitor.
Well, it's not funny. We know that.
Hey, come on, Glenn.
This is not Glenn the Janitor.
Glenn, I know it's you.
It's not.
Is this a woman?
It's not Glenn the Janitor.
Well, it's also not funny.
Glenn, why don't you just sing that you love the show and let's move on?
This is not Glenn the Janitor.
All right. Goodbye.
This is Eddie Albert.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Boy, oh boy.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I had a joke.
Great. Oh, great. Make us laugh. What's your name?
Robert.
Where are you from, Robert?
D.C.
Good luck, Robert.
Come on, Robert. Make us laugh.
Make us laugh, Robert.
What do you call a truckload of vibrators?
Toys for Twats. Come on. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. People. People.
Let's go back to the 877 number. Johnny, punch it up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you guys doing?
Okay, who's this?
My name is Matt.
Where are you from?
New York.
Matt, please, for the love of Christ, make us laugh.
All right, you got to listen. A quick story here. When I went away to college, everybody gets an email account from the university.
Yeah.
It starts off with the first letter of your first name and the first five letters of your last name and then the number after it. So a friend of mine, she's a girl. Her first name was Tracy. Her last name was Watson. So her email address was twatso1 at the university.
That's very good.
I don't think it's funny.
No, it is funny, but it's not.
It's not laughing funny. But listen, more along the lines of what we're looking for.
Twatso.
Thank you.
I like that.
Johnny, take another one. Hello, Don and Mike show. Who is this?
Hello.
That'd be a good name for a clown. Twatso the clown.
Hello, I'm Twatso.
Hi, who's this?
They pull back my curtains.
Mike from New York.
Hi, Mike. Make us laugh, please.
Did you hear about the Polish airline that crashed into a cemetery?
No.
Yeah.
2,000 bodies were recovered. Hey, Don.
That is really horrible.
Oh, that's like a joke I heard like in seventh grade.
That is really
back
horrible.
When Polak jokes were really in vogue.
Terrible.
Yeah. No, you suck.
Wow.
That's bad.
That is very bad.
Hello. To take another one, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Karen.
Hi, Karen. Make us laugh, please.
Well, I just wanted to say thanks to my husband. He used to have real bad breath, but he rinsed with chloroseptic the other night to make me feel better.
Well, I didn't even understand what she said.
She's referring to the guy the other day that used chloroseptic to please his wife orally.
Yeah, no. Hello, Don and Mike show.
This Mike.
For those of you who are just driving around listening or maybe in the office now, I maintain my pledge to you. This is going to be a one-break bit.
One break. And see, we're either going to get it or not.
Right. We're not going to continue this. Please, somebody, make us laugh.
All right, I'll make it quick. What does Jaws sound like swimming in the Indian Ocean?
What?
Dot, 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 dot.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
I don't even get that.
I don't either. That's very bad.
And
you
the guy just hangs up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, Don. I remember Frida said you wanted to start a business, coffee or something like that. Well, I don't see you in coffee.
Well, wait, what was that? What was that last mangled sentence? What was that?
Slow down. Who is this?
This is Chris.
Where are you from, Chris?
D.C.
Are you calling to make us laugh?
Sure.
Now, okay. Chris, you kind of mangled a lot of words there together. Start again.
Give it a running shot. Here you go. Start from the beginning.
Don, you want to start a coffee shop in Ocean City or something like that? Well, I don't see you in coffee. I see you in tea. Oh.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
I cough when I laugh. You got to give it to him.
We have a winner.
We have a winner. That's
how simple it is to play.
Absolutely.
Make us laugh.
I see you in tea.
That's how.
I don't see you in coffee. I see you in tea. Absolutely.
This is the beauty of make us laugh.
That is a good one. Now,
I've been wanting to do this ever since she brought up a coffee shop thing a year ago. I've been wanting to call in with that.
And that's not even a joke like from a joke book, because really, a year ago, my wife wanted us to invest in like a Starbucks franchise or something in Ocean City. She wanted us to get involved in a coffee shop.
He doesn't see you in coffee. He sees you in...
I don't see
you in coffee. I see you in tea. That's very good.
Yes, yes, and yes again.
Excellent job, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. Finally.
You the man.
Look at that. Is that beautiful? I don't see you in coffee. I see you in tea.
You are the winner.
Thank you.
Very good.
Sorry about the delivery.
You know, I'm glad that we had you stop.
I'm glad we stopped him and got him
and
to go
start
again.
Start over again. Get a running start.
So am I.
Beautiful. Now, what is your name?
My name is Chris.
You know what? I'm going to remember that joke. I don't see you in coffee. I see you in tea.
That's it.
Chris, congratulations. You won a Sony DVD player.
Thank you.
So you can watch your favorite movies. We're going to give you a free copy of Mad Max and Buckaroo Banzai. Both available on special edition DVD. They're from Sony and Circuit City and Borders. And you're also going to get the two-disc DVD copy of MASH, the movie, not the bad TV show, with uncut and restored stuff from Fox. Okay. Enjoy the DVD set today with lots of behind-the-scenes footage.
That's how simple it can be.
That's how easy it is.
On Make Us Laugh.
Very good.
That's how simple it can be.
I like that.
You know, it took me a second.
Yeah, it was a little beat short.
It just took me a second. Remember, do you remember when your wife wanted you to buy a coffee shop? Which is true, she really did.
I don't see you in coffee.
I see you in tea.
Bada bing.
Maybe the funniest.
That's right.
I mean, I know we laughed like at Helen Keller stuff before.
Yeah, the Christopher Reeve joke was pretty funny.
Oh, too. Yeah. No, yeah. That was a good that was a good one, too.
Right.
All right. Way to go. Outstanding. Good job.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Hold on a second.
And don't give short shrift to what's fat and black with the skin pulled back.
There you go.
Oh, that's
which
funny.
Also caught us quite off guard.
Sure.
That's what we had to delete off the air.
We did.
But still, that was a winner. And
it
make
was
us,
very good.
It was like a secret winner.
Right.
All right. There you go, folks. Hey, how about that?
It's that easy.
And am I a man of my word or not? That was a one-break bit.
It worked.
Break. You didn't have to sit through a whole freaking hour of bad, hey, there's these three guys that go into a bar.
You got it.
There you go.
I see you in tea.
I don't see you in coffee. I see you in tea.
Bada bing. Very good.
Funny, right, Lisa?
It was very funny.
Funny? Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. All right. We got a break? That was good. Thank you, guys. Excellent. Well done.
Good
well
job.
Well played. A well-played round. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our friend Buzz.
Is Buzz a little paranoid?
Just a touch.
What happened?
During the commercial set, I go outside the cancer corner.
I saw you guys having the, you know, you're having a little cigar out there.
I'm going out there. I smoke a cigar.
Buzz is having some bubblegum cigarettes.
And God, I pray that, you know, I leave my cigar. I probably shouldn't even say this on the air.
Yeah, you really shouldn't. But I mean, I know you. What you're going to say, you leave it in a certain spot.
I hide my cigar outside the radio station, right. And I just pray like that. That no one comes by during a break while we're
puts
on the
air. Puts it between two pillows or something.
Yeah,
like
puts it in their ass or spits on it or
right.
Gets DNA on it or something.
Sure, sure.
So I go outside and I get my cigar out of the hiding place, and Buzz pulls out one of his cancer sticks. And we're standing there, and he says, So, when you do make me laugh. I said, yeah. He said, why do you always have Rob stand right in front of the window so that I can't see you?
What?
And I said, I know not what you're talking about.
Right,
he
right.
Said, whenever you, the last two times you've done Make Me Laugh, mm-hmm. He says, I can see Mike,
yeah, right.
But Rob stands against the window so that I can't see you.
Right.
He said, why is that?
I thought perhaps he was serving some kind of human curtain.
No, really? And I said, Buzz, you're out of your freaking mind. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because this never happens any other time, just during Make Us Laugh.
Where
Rob's standing right now, can you see Don?
Oh, yeah, when he's close to the mic, when he was leaning back.
Now, where
back
were you standing during Make Us Laugh?
Right there. Here. Yeah, you were a little to your left.
My left.
Like, yeah.
Like this?
Like that. More like that.
Ah. See, what Rob is doing is leaning against the window.
Well, that's not anybody's decision. That's Rob's.
No.
That's Rob's thoughtlessness. yeah, you know, not thinking
that.
Of you.
I like to stand here so I can watch both of them during Make Me Laugh.
Right.
That's half the show.
Right. See, and Buzz is in case you don't know. We're in one studio, and Buzz is in the next studio, and there's a piece of glass between Buzz and me and Mike and Rob.
My window on the show.
And what happens is, and I didn't even notice this, that Rob, during Make Me Laugh, I guess...
deliberately, Buzz, like, throws his body in between you and Buzz.
And at no other time, so I thought, well, this is just a thing for Make Us Laugh.
So you thought that maybe that's designed so that you can't see Don's reaction.
I thought maybe I was preventing people from laughing or making people laugh when they didn't want to.
No,
you know, one or the
all.
Other.
No,
the crazy world of Buzz Burbank.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, but Buzz has a right to be paranoid, though. I mean, really. I mean, we laugh a lot at Buzz's expense, and I can understand. I can totally understand that, you know. But Buzz, really, no, it's just not. Okay. When you see us, when your commercials come on and we're looking in the other direction, that's when we're laughing.
Yes, I know. And you know that we laugh at that. You
yes,
know
I
we
do.
Laugh at that.
Right.
Yes.
That's
you,
no secret.
The stuff that we laugh at you
I mean,
at.
Occasionally a Buzz commercial will come on. I know he can tell with me because I always put the paper up like this.
Sure. Mike starts reading like he's in a cartoon.
That's right. You know, just guffawing on the other side.
And, you know, and Buzz, bless your heart, the stuff that we laugh about, the stuff that, and incidentally, Buzz is not immune to this. Everyone
right.
on the show,
oh, I know,
myself sure. included, gets right. their balls busted by other people on the show.
That's right. the way it works. I mean, right. we all know it, and we just try to avoid the other person knowing.
Right. There generally is no secrecy involved. I'll give you a prime example.
Right.
Of when we went out to dinner,
a couple of weeks ago, all of us, I think it might have been, I don't know if it was before you arrived or after you arrived, but Buzz has got a thing when Buzz orders dinner now.
Right.
That we used to bust Buzz's balls all the time because he was indecisive.
Right.
Buzz would never know what to order. The guy would come to him and he would go, oh, well, you know, I might want this, or I might want that. It would change his mind.
Right.
And now Buzz, because he's had his balls busted so much,
he orders decisively.
He is firm and he is strong when he orders.
Right.
And when we were all at dinner a couple of weeks ago, all it takes, and this was not even a verbal ball busting.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah.
Rob knows that you know.
Right. Sure.
All it takes is Buzz gets the menu and he goes like this. He says to the waiter, I'll have the Caesar salad. I'll have the strip steak, medium, and I would like a Grey Goose martini, dirty.
Uh-huh.
And all it takes is me looking at Rob.
I feel bad,
right,
because there's really no reason to...
No, you don't.
And you don't feel bad, and you know what we're doing.
Right.
We're laughing at him because he's being assertive,
right,
because we used to bust his balls that he could never make up his mind what he wanted to have for
dinner.
When
it came to a head is when he ordered the hamburger at the Red Eye Grill.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dynamic here, the guy that makes all this work is right there in the plaid shirt. I came in the other day when I had lost my, when I left my jacket behind. And my thing that I get my balls busted on is my forgetfulness. Like
losing
whether
things.
If I leave a cell phone at the table up in New York, somebody will pick it up and then they will let me know like much later on. And I think the other day it rang or something like that. And you guys are doing it. The other day I catch Rob, you know, when I left my jacket behind, and Rob's giving Don this look like, oh, what an idiot. Yes, sir. And I caught him. I caught him and I said, have a nice weekend.
We all have
our little thing.
That is also true. And again, it was unspoken.
Yes.
Rob said nothing.
Right.
We were done with the show. I'm on my side of the console cleaning up. Mm. Rob is on your side cleaning up.
It's Friday. I shoot out of here faster than
pretty quick.
You know, all the time.
Cleaning up your mess.
Right.
And all he was doing was holding your jacket. He didn't even say a word.
Holding the jacket with that little look there.
Yeah,
and I caught him. It was great.
Like shaking his head.
And I never catch him.
He's hard to catch, yes.
Yeah. But Buzz, when we bust your balls, you know it.
Oh, yeah, I do.
So,
and don't stop.
So listen, so Rob's standing in front of the window. Rob's standing in front of the
window. You twisted his arm.
Don't feel badly, Rob.
But I honestly feel we shouldn't laugh at him ordering his... But
it's
now
funny.
It's gotten to such a point where I can't even make eye contact with you when it happens.
Right. I can't look at Rob
when a Pavlov dog thing.
When Buzz orders a meal.
Yes.
And all Buzz is doing is ordering a meal.
Yeah, that's true. Simple act.
But it's funny.
Naturally.
It's funny.
Naturally.
And what is... Hold on. Marcia. What is Marcia's equivalent?
Typical.
Typical.
Typical. Yeah. That's right.
That's another...
Absolutely.
That's another Buzzism that if we're waiting for a cab or something and a cab doesn't immediately come, Buzz will say, naturally. Well, as if, you know...
Universe plotting against that.
Absolutely.
Well, it was just the most classic moment was, I want something quick, so I'll have the hamburger, to which the waiter says, the hamburger takes longer than anything, and Buzz said, naturally.
There you go. And his wife has the same...
Typical.
Yeah, we're jaded.
Yeah, when she wanted to check at a hotel, and they said the room won't be ready for an hour.
Typical.
But you know what? I don't think that you could ever get any group of people that travel as much as we do together.
And
I think the fact that we're not polite with one another...
Oh, it helps.
I think that helps us all survive it. I really do. I think it's hysterical that everybody busts everybody else's chops. It's great.
I came home from work the other day with that piece of paper from Lisa that had the travel stuff on it.
Right.
And I said to Frida, here's the here's the days that we're traveling to New York. And she says, well, now, why did Lisa write on the bottom of the page F-U?
Right.
And I said, oh, because I said F-U to her.
Sure.
And she said, why did you say F-U to her? And I said, well... You know, I mean, it was a long drawn. It was no reason. I just said F you, and she wrote F you on a piece of paper.
Everybody's got their little dynamics, and I'll tell you. I mean, we, you and I have certainly had a lot of different people since we've been doing the show, but this little dynamic works. It works when we're on the road.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
It's the reason that we don't go back to our hotel rooms and throw the ice bucket against the window.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And constant diffusing.
It's really the reason I moved into Don's building.
Hello, Don and my show, and the reason there was a shooting at Martin Luther King High School.
There you go.
Just 2 days ago.
Sure, it's my element.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. The mother chucker. Hi, Chuck.
How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, are you sure Buzz was only smoking a cigarette outside, being so paranoid?
Yeah. No, listen, no. Buzz is a stone cold sober.
Maybe that's not the word you should have used.
Yeah, right. No.
Sober as a judge, sir.
Okay, there you
go. He's doing it again, Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz. See, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Like, I've seen him do that before.
Okay.
No,
here's another
about that.
Here's another thing Rob does. And you know what, Mike?
Rob will do the
right.
John Candy drinking thing, and then do the cuckoo thing, and then the smoking the doobie thing.
when pantomime at the dinner table.
Right. When Buzz says something. Rob will turn so Buzz can't see him, and he'll go like...
That's right.
Right. And then sometimes he does the thing like he's like, oh, Buzz is drunk.
You ever want to see what Rob does, rent planes, trains, and automobiles, and the scene where they're driving in the wrong direction on the highway, and John Candy goes, oh, yeah, you're drinking. That's what Rob does.
And a lot of times Rob does that, the cuckoo thing, too.
Cuckoo.
With the rolling of the eyes. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, did y'all see Larry running the torch, the Olympic torch?
I saw a still picture of him, but I didn't see him actually running.
Yeah,
God, you talk about labor, and he could hardly, he was trying to run, he could not run.
They had the video on CNN last night.
And he really couldn't run.
Of Larry, Lay King, wearing a white, one of those plastic jumpsuits.
Yeah, it's what they all wear for the Olympic torch.
It was like, I mean, he was trying to run, but it was like watching the Monopoly Man try to run. The little labor steps.
Right.
He denies this. He says he wasn't trying to run. He says he was fast walking because he's a real exercise person.
It was a labored fast walk.
The quote from Larry is, I'm an exercise person.
Oh, my God.
And he was fast walking. He said.
His skin was paler than the white suit he had on.
It was. And I love that he's getting his balls busted now everywhere for lying about his contract.
Well, they so hate him at CNN.
Yeah.
You know that. Everybody hates him at CNN.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, this is Matt in Westchester.
Hi, Matt.
I'm second in line in Wendy's, and I just wanted to know if you guys wanted to say your condolences to the girl for Dave Thomas.
Well, Robbie?
He's going to go, you're going to say Wendy's nuts.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to do, really?
I'm at the window now.
Rob, maybe this is not a D's Nuts call.
I bet it is, and I bet he's going to deny it. But didn't you say he's in line at Mindy's?
215? Okay. Yeah, I'm in line at Wendy's right now.
All right, well, then, if you're in line at Wendy's...
Do you want to talk to the girl?
No, you talk to the girl. When she says welcome to Wendy's, you say, I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Oh, I know.
She knows.
Say you're really sorry.
I'm really sorry. Don and Mike want to say they're sorry, too.
This just never had a chance.
No.
I mean, this is almost like make us laugh.
But in theory, this is not a bad idea to have a guy drive to Wendy's and go to the drive-thru window and say, when they say, can I take your order, say, I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
I'd like a Frosty with deepest sympathy.
Would you like to be on the radio?
Now, this guy is just a total DA.
Although you've given a pretty good idea.
Right.
Anybody out there driving around, if you want to go to a Wendy's,
and order your food... I'd like to order a double with cheese with deepest sympathy.
You know, maybe they don't even order food. Maybe they just go up to the window.
I don't want anything.
I have flowers.
I just wanted to express my condolences.
I like that. No flowers. I like the, you pull up, welcome to Wendy's. How can I help you? I don't want anything to eat. I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Wanted to express my sympathy.
That's it. No, I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
I'm sorry Dave Thomas
deepest
is dead.
Deepest condolences, I guess. Not that. Too verbose.
Yes. Too nice.
Too nice, yes.
I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead. See what response they get.
So if we put I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Welcome to Wendy's. Can I help you? No, I don't want anything. I just want to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead. That's about it.
We'll have a prize for the first person,
right,
to go to a Wendy's drive-thru right now.
Because didn't we hear the day after he died that the people were actually going to Wendy's?
Buzz had it on his news show
expressing their deepest sympathy.
Many customers did.
It was like the George Harrison album sales going crazy. You got someone already on line six? Somebody at a Wendy's already?
Good.
Wow. Hi, who's this?
This is Jeremy.
Jeremy, are you really at a Wendy's?
I'm actually heading to one as we speak.
How close are you?
2 minutes at the most.
Yeah. Honk
okay.
For
all right. This is like honk for cash.
Right.
Okay. Hold on a second. Maybe maybe we should take a break first.
Might be a good idea.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, man, that was me. I was wanting Wendy's. What'd they hang up on me for?
D.A., it's us.
It's us. You're talking to us, D.A. Because it didn't go well. Why don't you turn your radio down?
Listen, D.A., I'm going to give you some credit. It's a funny idea. In theory, it's a funny idea.
Yeah, but I was hungry.
We really love the concept.
I wanted some lunch.
Yeah, you wanted some lunch. We understand. Yeah, well, we appreciate the idea.
We're taking the idea from you. Thank you. Thanks for the idea.
We're going to steal it. We're going to steal it from you.
Okay, can I have credit for it then?
Yes, you have credit. We're giving you credit right now.
You have credit on a gift certificate at the Don and Mike Show.
Credit on a gift certificate at Wendy's, right? Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
Thank you, D.A.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Okay, I'm about a minute away from Wendy's.
Well, now you're a minute away.
Well, hold on. This is a different guy.
Yeah, I'm a different guy.
It's Mike, yeah, it's a different guy.
Very good. Well, there you go. Wendy's all over the area.
It's not the first guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Who is this guy?
You what?
He hung up.
All right, he hung up. Let's go back to the first guy. Are you there yet?
I'm almost there. I just told Lisa that I'm about 2 minutes or two lights away here.
Oh, two lights away.
No,
Christ, let me try the other guy. Hey, other guy, where are you at?
I can see the Wendy's. I can see it.
You what?
I can see the Wendy's. It's right here.
I can see it.
Are you in the drive-thru lane?
I am pulling in 1 second.
Make sure we hear the speaker.
Okay.
You know what to say, right?
I don't want to order anything. I just want to.
I'm real clear on that part.
All right, no. Here's what you say. I don't want to order any food. I'm just real sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Okay. There's people in line. There's one person ahead of me.
Let's hear you say it for practice.
Okay. I don't want to order anything to eat. I just wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
That's it. Perfect. Very good.
Beautiful.
That's what you do. All right. Here we go.
So okay, there's one person in front of me in line.
We'll see what the reaction is.
Okay.
Here we go.
I think this is a public service we're providing here.
I'm pulling up.
All right.
I'm in front of the thing.
Okay, make sure, shut up. Make sure that we hear.
I don't want to order anything to eat. I just wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Okay, we're starting to get this to the front thing.
Did you hear?
What'd she say?
Hold
on.
What'd she say?
Did you hear me?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
How could you not hear this guy?
You hear what she said?
You hear that guy without a speaker.
Oh, what did she say?
Oh, man.
What did she say?
She said, we're very sorry, too, sir. Thank you.
There you go. You got a thank you out of it. Very nice.
All right,
nice
very nice. Done.
Well done.
Very nice. Let me give you the Mad Max DVD, okay?
Awesome.
The original Mad Max and also Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, great.
See if you can guess which one of those is the good movie. That's from Circuit City and Borders. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just like this.
I wouldn't mind someone else trying that, too.
Yeah, he was a little overbearing.
Just someone who just kind of nonchalantly pulls up and goes, yeah, hey, I don't want any food. I just want to say, I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Right.
And what would make it even better is if, like, you're in a line, mm-hmm. and then you're unable to back up because there are cars behind you.
There you go.
And you have to wait in the line, and then you have to drive past the window.
Sure, exactly.
And you're the guy who didn't want to order anything.
Just give him a little salute.
Yeah. You just want to say, sorry, Dave Thomas is dead.
Yeah, just kind of go.
Hey, if you want to try, call us. We'll be right back. We'll do it next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
For the Super Bowl, if I'm not wrong, maybe it's... February 2nd?
That's correct. It is. February 2nd.
Saturday, February 2nd. We are coming to somebody's home somewhere in America. We're all coming. Everybody and all the hangers-on and all the naked chicks and all the games and all the drinking and all the cash giveaways.
All the tomfoolery and hijinks.
We want to come to your house to do a Las Vegas-style show on a Super Bowl Saturday. Send us a letter telling us why you deserve the party. Fax it to us, please. At 1-800-636-6410.
All right.
We get a second here. Going to read some of the letters that we've received over the last 24 hours.
Good.
The Las Vegas-style show is going to be everything
that the arena show was.
Right.
Except that it will be in your house.
Yeah, the privacy factor, I think, so to speak, has a very good influence on our show.
The privacy factor means that you'd be able to see lots of privacies.
That's right.
That you're going to see ladies' privacies.
Yes.
In some cases, men's privacies.
Well, I'm not real thrilled about that, but I guess it's true.
Well, you know, that's the way we do the show.
Yeah, the nude feud, you know, you got to see them.
And I know one of the problems that all of these the local communities have are the simulated sex acts.
Yes.
Right. No problem.
Not at all.
Simulate away.
No problem. There might even be actual fornication on stage.
Oh, my God.
Based again on the crowd and what the crowd wants.
Yes.
We'll be there with a DJ and a sound system and all of our sound effects. We'll have cash prizes to give away.
It'll be a naughty good time.
And we've got $500 for you to buy...
Party
refreshments,
favors.
Party favors for your friends.
Hats and paper plates.
Be inviting over and then, you know, Cragmont, Kolar, whatever you like to drink.
Cake.
We want to just come to your house and do the Las Vegas style show. As many people as you can cram into your basement or your living room. All we ask is that it be in a home. An apartment is okay.
Right, if it's big enough for, you know, a lot of people.
But if it's an apartment, you got to clear it with your neighbors because it's going to be plenty noisy.
Right.
We also ask that you be over 21. You got to send your date of birth.
And everybody there has to be over 21.
Right.
So, I mean, the kids, you know, go to grandma's house.
And the other thing that we ask is that you supply girls...
Cool.
Your friends who want to play the games.
And as a matter of fact, what we're looking for in these letters is some indication of what you're going to bring to the table to warrant a Las Vegas-style show at your house.
Right. You know, and that's the important part, girls that don't mind getting naked.
Girls. Lovely girls.
Let's see if anybody's at Wendy's. Tom, are you at Wendy's?
I am. Someone just pulled in front of me, but I'm standing right here.
All right, we'll wait.
All right, so you're at the drive-thru Wendy's now again. All we want you to do when you pull up is say, hi, I don't want any food.
I don't want to order anything. I just want to say I'm sorry that Dave Thomas is dead.
That's it.
All right. There's a Dodge in front of me. It gets going.
All right. Well, which Wendy's are you at?
We're out in Sterling.
Sterling.
Off of Route 7.
Okay.
Great.
Well,
great. Right, here we go. I won't try to yell this time.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Get ready. Get ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm sorry? No, I was just driving by, and I just wanted to say sorry that I don't want to order anything. I just want to say sorry that Dave Thomas died.
Is dead.
You there? I just want to say that I'm really sorry that Dave Thomas died.
Is dead.
What'd they say to you?
What were you saying? I don't want to order anything. I just want to apologize that Dave Thomas died. Give my condolences.
No, not correctly done. I want to apologize.
Say that I am sorry that Dave Thomas is dead.
Sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
There you go.
Hello, let's try this again. Who is this? Don and Mike Show. Hello.
How's it going? This is Mike.
The last guy apologized like he pulled the trigger.
Are you at Wendy's, Mike?
Yeah, I'm sitting in line in Greenbelt, Maryland.
How many cars in front of you?
Oh, four.
About four?
Four,
yeah.
Four and two behind me.
Yeah. All right. You know what?
Before 2 o'clock Eastern time to get the feed bag on.
All right, here you go. You know, we'll just keep you online while I read you a couple of the entries for the Las Vegas Show contest.
Good.
Let me see. Here's one of the letters we've received. Dear Don and Mike, the reason you need to have the Las Vegas style show at my house is because of the following. One, the house is less than a year old. Two, three levels of nude fun. Three, I am 27 with a lot of exhibitionist friends. Four, did I tell you you're my favorite?
Have I told you you're my favorite?
I like this letter.
Five, my fiancé and I have enough sex toys for everyone. Six, my fiancé will be nude the entire show.
That's big.
Wow.
That comes from Chuck in Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Very good.
Strong.
P.S., tell Buzz to bring the lube. Preferably anal ease. We are running low.
Lots of dirty birdies in the area.
Apparently.
Okay.
I like that letter.
Dear Don and Mike, I'm 24, and I've been a fan of your show since the WAVA days. I'd love to have you guys over for the Super Bowl party. I've been to numerous Las Vegas-style shows. I can provide the women to participate in the games, the liquor to drink, the dank bud for Buzz, and the Dreamcast on to beat you blind in NFL 2K2. I won't give you guys the sob story to win. I'd enjoy having you guys around for the private show. We'd love to be able to say we hung out together. There'd be approximately 20 people attending, almost all of which would be female. I appreciate your attention to my letter.
Wow.
It's from James in Alexandria, Virginia.
I like that, too.
Strong.
That's good. That's two good letters in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Don and Mike. Now, this one starts bad. I'm not sure if it continues.
Okay.
Don and Mike. I recently had my wife ask me for a separation.
Oh, dear.
This is like the sob story we're not looking for.
No, not at all.
I need some fun to enter my life since my life sucks. I'm a big fan. I listen every day. I'd love the opportunity to have you and your crew to my home for the Las Vegas-style show. I saw your show in Sacramento last year and loved it. It is exactly like my parties.
All right, guys.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Here we are. No, I'm really not too hungry today. I just wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead. Ma'am? I just wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead. Yes, ma'am. I just didn't want anything to eat. I wanted to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Thank you. Hey, thank you. Finally, you get the thank you.
All
that's
right,
good.
Well done.
Nice job.
Hold on there. Let me give you the Mad Max DVD.
Thanks, guys.
From Circuit City.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. You stay with it until you get the thank you.
Very good. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Chris.
Are you at a Wendy's as well?
Yeah, just give me 1 second.
All right, hold on. How many, is there cars in front of you, or what's the deal?
Yeah, there's a couple cars.
All right, I'll just read some more letters.
Good idea.
All right, cool.
You let me know when you get up there.
All right.
Okay, so the guy, his wife asked him for a separation. Mm-hmm. It would make my New Year, I could have the party at my house. It would make up for the fact that I screwed up my friend's New Year celebration by getting drunk and kicking everyone out. Needless to say, I don't drink anymore. Oh, no, how can we have a guy at Las Vegas-style show doesn't drink anymore?
It doesn't sound like sweater. It doesn't work.
I live in Sacramento, but I have a 3-story party house in Truckee next to Lake Tahoe.
Truckee, sorry.
So we can get friends from Reno, Tahoe, Sacramento, and San Francisco. What a mixture of crazies. Hope to see you on Super Bowl Saturday.
Well, I don't know about that one.
All right. Here's Ken from New York. I am the most qualified person to have your Las Vegas-style party. I correct myself. I need this party. I'm 27 and I've had a hard time getting laid. With a cool party like this, I should be able to bag a couple of skanks.
Wow.
Can you hook a horny brother up?
Not bringing enough to the table there.
No.
Let me see. Don and Mike, hello. My name is Tim from the Sacramento area. You cannot pass me up for the Vegas party. My friend is getting married this summer, and why not have his bachelor party early? He'll need the extra time anyways to patch things up with his bride after the party. Also, this would be two parties in one since Tuesday. February 5 is my 29th birthday. I already have Monday and Tuesday off work for recovery and already have kegs ordered. Beer. Oh, are you there?
Monday.
Yeah. Okay,
hey,
you there?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Good.
No, I don't really want to order any food. I just wanted to say I'm sorry that Dave Thomas is dead. Hello? Yeah, did you hear me? A little bit. Okay, what? I said, I don't want to order any food, but I'm sorry that Dave Thomas is dead.
Okay, can you
come to the center? Yeah. Okay, she wants me to go to the window. I guess she can't hear. I'll do it in person.
Very good.
All right.
All right, let's hear you go to the window.
All right, now how long till you get up to the window?
Right now.
Okay, all right, we'll hear them.
Right now.
Why do those speakers never work?
I know. Bah, 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 bah.
Well, this would be even better, just saying it in person.
I understand you. I've got a congregation. Yeah, I didn't want to order any food. I just wanted to say I'm sorry that Dave Thomas is dead.
Okay. So you ordered before
or
too? What? Yeah.
What?
No, I don't want to order any food. I don't want any.
Hey, you don't want any.
Listen, I just want to say that I'm sorry that Dave Thomas is dead.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to America.
Thank you. I heard the thank you. Very good.
That is well
That was
done.
The best one yet.
That is well
Excellent job.
You also won a DVD copy of Mad Max and Buckaroo Banzai.
Good for you, sir.
Good job. Good job. Thank you. Hold on a second.
That was excellent.
No, I did not.
That was tease.
No, listen, I really don't want any food.
You don't understand. He had a congregation of people at the window. I don't want to order food. I want to say I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Let me see. Here is one from Maggie in Fairfax, Virginia. Dear Don and Mike, reasons why I deserve the Las Vegas-style show at my house. You may be tired of DAs. I am not a DA. I'm in the four-hour club. I love Las Vegas. When Mike gets drunk, he can walk home from my house. My teats are nice.
Ah.
We have a craps mat in the basement and dartboards on the wall. Nice, quiet neighborhood. Neighbors won't complain. I'm people, just people. Again, have I told you you're my favorite?
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Very nice letter.
I've been trying to bowl with you, but I haven't been called back by Lisa. So don't I just deserve it?
Ah, very nice.
All right. Dear Don and Mike, I'm perfect for your Vegas-style show. I listen every day with everyone in my office. This comes from Dante in Long Island.
Dante.
I listen every day with everyone in my office. You guys rule. I live on Long Island. I'm 23. I have a hot 23-year-old girlfriend, and we both have several really hot 23 to 25-year-old lady friends who enjoy having relations with each other.
Wow.
One of my friends is a New England Patriots cheerleader.
Oh, my God.
Who graduated from the Harvard School of Business. I have another friend who has had small parts in several movies where she gets naked. You might recall her from the scene in Road Trip where Tom Green is telling the story of how girls would walk around topless in the locker room. She was the naked chick who had dialogue.
Wow.
I will send you pictures if you like, and you'll see the decision is easy. Please choose me, because who else can give you naked 23-year-old lesbians? Nobody.
Boy, send us the pictures.
Dante, send the pictures.
Send the pictures, and you are a finalist.
Send the pictures. Okay, and then this one, I don't have time to read.
Is that a two-pager?
This is a two-pager.
Wow. Single space.
Wow. I don't have time to read it. So, I mean, as you can hear, we are getting all kinds of great responses.
Lots of people want to have the Las Vegas-style show at their house on Super Bowl weekend.
And if you want us to come to your house, and, I mean, it's everybody. It's all of us, of course. Don, Mike, Robbie, Buzz, Slow Joe, Lisa. We'll all be there. Plus, Dennis and Tom and
Gordon
and Mr. 40 and Homo Joe and Cheryl the Big Dyke.
You better call the steam cleaners already.
And the DJ with the sound system and the nude feud and the underwear fashion show and the Monica Lewinsky contest.
Awesome.
And the Tom Gavin Challenge and the Dennis Challenge, and we bring cash prizes to give away. And
we're doing all of it.
And, I mean, it's going to be in your home. In your home.
Where lots of bad stuff can happen.
Yeah, the show that we've always wanted to do.
Yeah, we're going to do a relaxed show that with very little inhibitions.
Yeah, I mean, we've had problems with Las Vegas-style shows, what with county commissioners and such.
But anything you do in the privacy of your own home is okay with me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So send us a fax, 800-636-6410, and let us know why we should come to your home.
Your domicile.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. We're going to announce the winner next week.
Hey, Mags. It's your Dyke.
Oh, hey, Cheryl.
Hello,
hey.
Cheryl.
Hey.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Okay, I want to take my 46 double Ds and swing them around in someone's house.
There you go, baby.
And, yeah. And it's my 44th birthday on Sunday, February 3rd. So what
wow.
No better way to celebrate.
Yeah, listen now. Cheryl the Big Dyke is part of the package when you're talking Las Vegas-style show.
Get your harness ready.
I have it ready for you all the time, my radio fag.
There you go.
And your whip.
You want to wear it for a few minutes?
That's okay. We'll pass.
That's okay, Cheryl.
Hey, can I tell you that this Wendy's bit is just the best thing I've ever heard?
Yeah, it is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, we're getting some instances. We're going to delete that out. I mean, they're having a big controversy now.
Oh, are they really about that?
Are they having a controversy? I'm sorry.
Oh, joke. All right. Goodbye. We got to go. Love.
see it wet.
Love you, Cheryl.
Okay, love you too. Bye.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
There bye-bye.
There's Cheryl the Big Dyke.
She's already getting excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so send us the faxes. Yeah, there's all kinds of controversy about that. The Make Me Laugh segment today.
Boy, you're just trying to have a little fun on a radio show.
Yeah, I believe that most people heard it, though. Buzz,
yes.
There he is.
Uh-huh. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
And Buzz, your lead story on the news show today?
Today, a terrorist suspect is released with best wishes.
You know, I am so glad we have this forum, but I want to tell you something. I am pissed, first off, this probably has nothing to do with your story, but I'm pissed to read in the newspaper that the guys that they've taken out of Pakistan and Afghanistan,
right,
that we brought to Cuba,
yes,
these guys are like living in a luxury suite. I want them to be in a jail cell with nothing but food and water. Yet these guys are getting soap and water and shampoo and conditioner, and they are getting 3 squares a day. And
yes,
they're getting the foods that they are accustomed to eating, and they are sleeping on.
And we are paying for it.
Yeah, and they're sleeping on the exact same mats, mattresses
right,
that our army guys are sleeping
yes,
on.
Yes, they are.
What the hell? What the F?
And that on top of the fact that they're threatening to kill at least one American at that base in Cuba before they get out of there.
Yeah, and you know, the last time I checked, Cuba this time of year, it's just like going to Miami.
Oh, beautiful climate.
I mean, why don't we just send them to Hawaii?
Well, I think I heard a story the other day that they got the right Marines down there at Guantanamo Bay.
Sure,
those guys are a little frustrated being on that duty for a long time down there.
You know, I hope that they take some of the frustration out of those guys.
I think they may do that.
I wouldn't mind someone going, oh, did I spill the hot soup on you?
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Here, let me clean that up.
Oh.
All right, everybody. Well, stay tuned for the news show. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and comments.
Coming up.
The Don
and Mike show.
Don and Mike show. That was very
professional, no?
This is the Don and Mike show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFM 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Until God needs a disc jockey, they will be here for ye. Don Geronimo and Michael Mann.
Amen, brother. All the people from New York are calling and instant feedbacking that the letter that came from Long Island,
the one with the New England Patriots cheerleader and the movie actress,
that most likely that was from Glenda Janet.
That makes sense.
No surprise. Remember, he said he would send one that was so great that it would be the one that we would choose beyond any other one.
Filled with lies.
Yeah. Too good to be true.
Red flag that.
All lesbians, including a New England Patriots cheerleader.
Yeah, I don't think so. And a girl that was in a movie.
Right. Yeah, right. In a Tom Green movie. Yeah. So, Glenn, I'm afraid we got you.
Right.
And actually, no, we didn't get you. Everybody else got you.
Yeah, you're busted.
That's all people are calling about. Tomorrow on the show, the thing that we talked about, the wrong that we believe will be righted.
Yes.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Good. It's been resolved, correct?
I believe so.
Almost.
Very good.
One way or the other.
We'll make sure tomorrow is resolved.
That's a good thing.
The thing we talked about a little bit today. I'm sorry.
We'll have details on the thing that we couldn't talk about today thing.
I mean, and it's got nothing to do with our job or any radio station stuff or anything. It's
just a little injustice that, you know, that Don thought we should take care of.
And, you know, someone got screwed. And someone who's a friend of the show.
Right.
And we're going to make sure it's right tomorrow.
Good.
So we'll take care of the thing tomorrow on the show. Also, today we're having the meeting with the guy from the RV place about doing the show where we drive around the Beltway to give away money. We'll have details on that tomorrow.
You need a driver.
Say you can't drive.
All right.
Thank you for the number one ratings here in D.C. on WJFK. Tomorrow we're going to start something we can't do in one break or two breaks, but we're at least going to start paring down the list of re-rating women for 2002, something that we swear to Christ started on this show 5 or 6 years ago.
Let the arguments begin.
And now every magazine in the world, FHM,
right.
Stuff Magazine, they had the Maxim,
right.
who originally stole the idea from us.
Sure.
Those bastards, they called us up and said they wanted to print our list of the 100 hottest women on the planet.
They should.
And what they ended up doing was just taking the idea and making their own list.
Those bastards.
Mm-hmm. So everybody's doing it now, but really we started it, and we're going to re-rate women. We're going to start doing that tomorrow.
1 to 10 decimals are encouraged.
Also tomorrow, Charlie Stossel versus... Raymond, Robert, the angry mailman. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Also tomorrow, NFL playoff action. That means Joe Theismann's coming on the show.
Joe, hard to get him to come out of his show.
And we will have a brand new low-budget Jeopardy for you tomorrow.
Yeah, all right.
And tomorrow with Joe Theismann, remind me, we'll not only discuss how we first got to know Joe.
Yes.
But when we were invited, we pestered him into inviting us to one of his weddings.
We did indeed, and we actually went to one of them.
One of them.
I think the second one.
Yeah.
Right? The third?
The fifth? I don't know.
No, I don't
find out.
Rob.
Do you think he's still married to the same one now?
I think he is, yes. Mm-hmm. The Memphis Belle.
Wow.
I believe. I think she's from Memphis, I think.
Well, you can only get married so many times before you start repeating, so he might be back to her.
He may. Who knows? I'm not sure.
And what else is this from the instant feedback? Now, listen, you people are just mean. you people are just so mean. Everybody, we're getting a lot of instant feedback. The Wendy's bit was funny, but it would have been funnier if contestants said they were glad Dave Thomas is dead.
Oh, no.
That is far too cruel.
That's not our bag, baby.
No.
That's not our bag.
That's just mean.
I thought it was plenty funny. I'm sorry Dave Thomas is dead.
Yeah, and it's funny to get the confused looks and then eventually a thank you.
Plenty funny. Hello. Oh, here's Glenn the janitor.
Just call me G. Diddy.
Hey, Glenn.
Listen, all you smart aleck New Yorkers who think you know me, stop being player haters, because you know you can't spell game without M-E, baby.
But that letter was from you, right?
I'm not saying. You guys pick out the best letter, and we'll see what. Oh, listen, let me say something before you just hang up on me.
You're busted.
No, I won't tell you. You have to figure it out for your selfishness.
Yeah,
listen,
right.
I got that DVD player by Sony. I mean, gorgeous. State of the art. Slim line, modeled, light. It's beautiful.
Great.
Okay. I have to say thank you to you guys.
Right.
Pick the best letter. Pick which one you think is best. Because I promise you, no lies involved in my letter, whichever letter that may be.
All right, goodbye, Glenn.
Listen, I love you. Come to the place in New York. Have fun.
All right.
I'll tell you.
All right, enough.
Jesus.
Enough of that guy.
Oh, my God.
I think he wrote the lesbian letter.
Oh, I think he did. That's why he jumped right on the phone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Told you the other day about Abdallah Higazi, the Egyptian who supposedly had a pilot's radio in his hotel room, a room with a view of the World Trade Center on September 11th.
Right.
Higazi was arrested, accused of lying to the police by saying he didn't know anything about the radio. Turns out, he didn't know anything about the radio. He confessed that he did because he says he was being threatened by authorities. A private pilot has now come forward to say that he left the radio in a hotel room safe. The security guard who said he found the radio on the hotel's 51st floor now says he actually found it on the 50th floor. Oops.
Well, so they let the guy walk?
Yeah, he was released today. He's a free man.
Good. Well, I guess he walked like an Egyptian.
I'm sure he did.
Thank you.
The airport.
Thank you all very much.
Very good. See? Another chance to make up for futon. Thank you all very much. The airports.
I'm here all week.
The airports say they're ready for the new security measures that go into effect tomorrow. The new measures require some kind of screening for every bag that's loaded onto a plane. They also require that every bag have a matching passenger. But that rule is one of the first loopholes.
Yeah. We got that one fast. Hey, Al-Qaeda with you.
Hey, they let the guy walk.
But he walked like an Egyptian. Good morning, Philadelphia.
All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the sun.
I love it. Anyway, so the new security measures, for every bag, there's got to be a passenger. But that's one of the first loopholes, actually. The bag per passenger matchup will only occur in the originating city, not in any airports along the way. That means a passenger could board with a bag in one city and deplane in another city, leaving his bag on board for the next flight.
Duh.
Quoting a security consultant, how much time do you think it'll take for the terrorists to figure that out?
Oh, my God.
But the government says bag matching is just one part of the new security system.
Bag matching is also a great game at gay parties.
Yeah, bag matching. Basically, put them side by side.
This is Craig.
Look, mine looks like yours.
And here's my friend Jack.
Hello, I'm Jack.
We're going to play bag matching now.
All right, pull yours down.
Look! They match. Check this.
Super.
They're going to try to work it out today. The dispute over a statue honoring the firefighters of 9/11. The sculpture is an exact replica of a famous photograph, the one showing three firefighters erecting an American flag atop the World Trade Center rubble.
That's quite an erection.
Now, an exact replica, except for one thing. The three firefighters erecting the flag just happened to be white. In the sculpture, one is black, one is white, and one is Hispanic.
That's because we have to be politically correct, Buzz.
That's angered some New York firefighters who say the statue should be historically accurate, not politically correct. At last check, New York fire officials were leaning on the side of history.
Yeah, right. I mean, no offense to...
I mean, if you're going
to
do that, you don't make the sculpture something that depicts an actual photograph, then. And the photograph is a copyrighted piece, and the guy who took the picture, the New Jersey newspaper photographer who took the picture, said he doesn't want it altered in any way. So he may have a law.
I mean, if that's going to be your memorial, then that's what it should be.
You know,
otherwise,
you should do? What? Just to solve this whole thing?
What, how?
The three guys that are holding up the flag, Dave Thomas's face on each of them.
There you go.
There. Dave Thomas from Wendy's.
Make everybody happy.
Absolutely.
Rudy Giuliani was a class act last night with Jay Leno after scores of appearances on Letterman. The former New York mayor was on with Leno last night, and he was gracious, first by showing up on a program whose host once called him a fascist and compared him to Hitler. He was also gracious for not rubbing Leno's nose in those pre-9/11 remarks. Leno told Giuliani, I'm one of these no-censorship people. I think I used the word fascist. It was a poor choice of words, but we can respectfully disagree on it. To which Rudy responded, there isn't a person who doesn't disagree with me on some things. The man is gracious.
And then they kissed. Then they French kissed.
No, I don't think that happened. The United Way is shutting down its September 11th fund. The charity's asking people to stop sending money to the fund that raised over $425 million in just 4 months. The money is for the families of the victims of the attacks on America. Some of the families have complained about the slowness of the payouts, but United Way officials say they're well along the way in distributing the money now.
Good.
The United Way's already doled out $154 million to other charities that have been on the front lines in the work of helping those victims. And a contestant on the TV game show The Chamber has been injured in the first week after the show's debut.
Orchestrated.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I don't even know the story.
Mm-hmm.
The first word that came to my mind, if we're playing Password, orchestrated,
staged
by Fox.
Believe me, it occurred to me as well. Word is a player was burned after several minutes in the fire-breathing chamber. The injuries are said to be minor, but the contestant did need medical attention. Network officials say this is just a rumor, quoting a spokesman, to the best of my knowledge. In the game, players are strapped inside a small chamber where they face heat, cold, extreme air freshener, and
such an obvious, it's like a
human spin cycle.
It's
like when the studios release a movie and they say, you know, we're really having some controversy because this may be too violent to show the public.
Right.
Yeah, it's typical
of that.
The
same thing.
Fox admits it's gotten complaints from viewers who think the show is too cruel and abusive.
Yeah, the same people who are watching it. That's like the people that call and complain about this show.
It's the way it works. Right. Look at the lawmakers scramble. They're scrambling to give back campaign money they got from the now bankrupt Enron Corporation. New York Senator Charles Schumer apparently has the most to return. He's giving back nearly $69,000. That money will go into a fund for the Enron employees who are now out of work. Schumer's on the Senate Energy Banking Committee, which will be involved in at least one of the 10 investigations underway. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, meanwhile, is giving back $6,000, and Florida Senator Bob Graham's giving back $8,000. If Larry King started the false rumor about his new salary, CNN should be worried about its credibility, according to a columnist for the New York Post.
Larry's spokeswoman denies he leaked that he'd be making $14 million a year when it's really $7 million.
Well, he told that cow, Liz Smith.
That's right. Reports in the Washington Post, Variety, and a leading trade publication since Liz's column have indicated that it was Larry.
It was me.
Sources from inside CNN say it was Larry who...
I'm an exercise nut.
...inflated the figure to satisfy his ego.
I'm a power walk. Listen, when I get the torch, I can't run. But I'll fast walk, because I'm an exercise nut, and I make $14 million a year.
You know, as we discussed the other day on this show, Christ, if you make $7 million a year,
right?
I mean,
that's obscene right there.
Yeah, not that it's anybody's business to begin with, but what is the problem with it? I mean, if you want to brag about how much money you make, Christ, $7 million is that my ass would be plenty red.
It's because I have a small wiener.
The thought is it was coming on the heels of the big announcement about Katie Couric's new multi-million
dollar
salary.
Larry wanted it to sound bigger.
Larry didn't want to seem puny in comparison. That's the thinking on that.
Christ, well, I got news for you. You are puny in comparison.
Yeah, we've seen you in your bathrobe.
I mean, you do a show that's watched by as many people as are in this room right now every night.
I make a lot of money.
Well, on the credibility question, CNN says, and I quote, "No one should have to have any reason to doubt anything he has to say."
Oh, sure. No, ask Sandy Koufax about that.
There you go, Larry.
We got a break here, Buzz. All right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Pretty soon we cut the chit-chat a-hole.
You're listening to them right now. Don and Mike.
It's time for a call number 100. 877-365-3636. National number, D.C. 202-432-1067. In New York, 877-692-1027. Call 100. Now, Rob, now you're blocking. I can't see Buzz playing
now
air guitar.
Now you stop that, Robbie.
Buzz is over there playing the air guitar to the Marshall Crenshaw.
Like the Marshall Crenshaw.
Drumming along.
Here now is Guy Elson. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The lizards are turning on us.
Oh, no.
In the New York area, a 14-year-old boy lost the tip of his right index finger when he was bitten by a giant pet iguana.
Uh-oh.
The boy bought the iguana nearly 5 feet long. He bought it on Monday. Within 24 hours, the police were called to subdue the creature. At first, they used a taser gun that's strong enough to bring down a large man, but as luck would have it, it doesn't work on iguanas. So, with the parents' permission, the officers fired 3 bullets into the iguana. That worked. Paramedics then cut open the lizard to look for the fingertip, but the only thing they found inside the iguana was an olive. A cousin found the boy's finger in the backyard, but it was too mangled to reattach. The family's more upset about the loss of the iguana. After this week's incident, they're down to just 6 of them in their house now.
Oh, my
fingers?
God. No, iguanas.
I got you.
Big ones.
And lovely.
In Newark, Delaware, some lizards ate a guy. Police in Dover, Delaware, went to an apartment.
Man-eating lizard.
That's true. Went to an apartment yesterday to check on the man whose relatives hadn't heard from him. The man, just 42 years old, was found dead on the floor with his 7 pet lizards gnawing away at his carcass.
Oh, my God.
Officials say the lizards range in size from 2 to 6 feet.
Jesus.
They say the owner had a permit to own an exotic pet, but they say they were surprised he had so many.
6 lizards, huh?
Having a good meal?
Yeah, that's bad.
You'd eat them?
Gnaw on the carcass.
Laughing gas is no laughing matter at the Hospital of St. Raphael in New Haven, Connecticut. Not a laughing matter. 2 patients have died after getting nitrous oxide during surgery instead of oxygen.
Oops.
Well, at least they were laughing. Both patients
get
were...
Get to know Charlie.
Uh-huh. Both patients were women and were getting repairs to their hearts at
Use
the time.
Use this valve.
Get to know Charlie.
Oh, no.
Oops, Charlie. That was my fault, as usual.
La, 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 la.
The hospital says one of the women was elderly and in poor health. The hospital says it has thoroughly investigated and taken steps to protect patients in the future.
And we hope Charlie's tuberculosis is better.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Charlie.
Monica Lewinsky. Monica says her sense of humor got her through the difficult days that followed the revelations about her and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, look in the mirror.
In fact, she says the only jokes about her she doesn't like are the ones that use her name.
Used to it, honey.
Quoting her, the ones that take my name and equate it to something a lot of people do is really a cruel thing.
You got down on your knees for the president, huh?
Lewinsky was
having a good time.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, there you go. You're a Monica.
She was answering a reporter's questions yesterday as she appeared before them to promote an upcoming documentary about herself on cable.
You were a girl, now you're
go
a sex
eat
act.
A S sandwich, filthy thief.
Thank you, Peter.
Paul McCartney has agreed to perform just before game time at this year's Super Bowl. He joins Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Alan the Entertainment Bill, U2, which won most of the Grammys this year.
Desperation.
Will play at halftime.
No Beatles should play on the Super Bowl pregame show.
I agree.
Can you imagine getting a speeding ticket for $100,000? In Finland, your fine is based on your income. An executive of the Nokia cell phone...
That means they'd let Joe Ardinger go every time.
Wow.
I mean, it would be like no charge.
Sure. An executive of the Nokia cell phone company was caught racing his motorbike down a Helsinki street 3 months ago, but he's appealing his actually $103,000 speeding ticket. He says Nokia stock has fallen in the past year and his salary along with it. He wants authorities to recalculate his income and his speeding fine.
Man, that's pretty scary.
And here's a new meaning for the words I gave at the office. At a laboratory in Great Britain, the employees are being asked to donate semen. Workers at the LGC Scientific Analysis Company in London got an email last Thursday asking them to donate by visiting the men's rooms, quote, on the first floor nearest to block one between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Hi, my name's Don. I'm here to donate.
Sorry about the email, it read, but the crime scene DNA lab needs some semen samples for making practice forensic exhibits and for training in DNA extraction techniques. If you are able to provide a sample in one of the tubes and place this in the icebox, this would be much appreciated. End
quote. Hi, my name is Don. I'd like to help out. This is my friend Mike. I'm afraid he won't be able to help you today.
Do you think there's any way you could extract my DNA?
I didn't think so.
I'll see you in about 6 weeks.
In sports, some big-name players are expressing interest in the Washington Redskins now that there's a new head coach. With Marty Schottenheimer out and Florida's Steve Spurrier in, the Washington Post says Michael Westbrook wants to re-sign with the Skins.
F him, he's no good.
The paper says former Redskins quarterback Jeff George and former Dallas quarterback Troy Aikman are also interested in joining the team.
Deadwood. Now, you bring back that alien Jeff George.
Right.
You're retarded.
You're stupid.
I mean, the guy can throw the ball a 100 miles, but you know what he is in the locker room? Cancer.
Absolutely. Aikman's agent calls it an exciting opportunity.
Aikman coming back.
Good.
And finally, the off-Broadway show Puppetry of the Penis is holding auditions to replace the show's stars who are leaving for a world tour.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm here to audition for Puppetry of the Penis.
The New York Post says 82 people have applied for tryouts so far.
Mike, nice to meet you. One of the prerequisites is that you be able to control yourself and that you cannot at any time during the performance cut loose.
Oh, I understand. I'm perfect for that. As a matter of fact, once I join the road company, it'll be the show that never finishes. Thank you.
You'll be performing with Janet Reno.
Ah, very exciting.
She has a beautiful penis as well.
Looking forward to it.
82 people have applied for tryouts, including 18 women.
Ooh.
Quoting a spokesman for the show, God knows what they're thinking. If they have a penis, they're welcome to show up.
Yee.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yes. Gotta go. Thank you for all the good calls today. It was a really good make us laugh today.
Absolutely.
Like the Dave Thomas stuff. Tomorrow on the show, The Thing, we're going to right or wrong with the Thing.
You'll hear all about it.
We'll tell you that. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but it's something that's effed up, and we're going to fix it for somebody. Also tomorrow, news about us driving around the Beltway in the RV, giving away the money. We're going to start re-rating the women. Tomorrow, Feisman on the show, talking about the the playoffs, the Stossel, the Mailman, and the new low-budget Jeff Hardy. If you want us to come to your house for the Las Vegas-style show on Super Bowl Saturday, fax us your letter at 800-636-6410. We'll announce the winner next week.
All right.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Oh, they hung up on us. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I am Cola 100.
Right. What's your name, my friend?
Hey, Don and Mike. It's William from Long Island.
All right, William. Here you go. You won the Jackson Hewitt tax.
Yep.
Wow.
What a lovely prize that is.
Wow.
Beefless.
Great. If only I could give you some socks and underwear to go along with this.
Yeah.
Jackson Hewitt will work hard to get exactly what you want, every dollar you deserve. Call 1-800-234-1040 today. But wait, there's more. Let me give you the MASH DVDs, the two-disc DVD copy of MASH.
That's cool.
Fox, and also the DVD of Mad Max, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. That's from Circuit City and Borders. Plus, you've won the DVD copy of Do You Believe in Miracles, now on DVD and VHS from HBO Sports. Enjoy all that stuff. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
No, thank
and
you.
And a good day to you all.
Good day to you, sir. That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you, and good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
My paranoid friend. Thank you. Good day to you, sir. Feel better tomorrow, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah. Good day to you, sir.
And Rob?
Can you be kind?
He'll be kind to you.
Serious look.
That hat. Please throw that hat in the air just like Sydney. I learned more.
There we go.
Okay, we will see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody.
Off either there.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.